to the end.
To episode 27 of the Skip to the End podcast. As ever, I'm Ben.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Mark.
And it is not just episode 27, it is our anniversary episode. It is our first birthday episode.
Whoa.
That's amazing.
Think of that.
One whole year.
Yeah. How have we not been sued?
I don't know. Maybe today's the day, I don't know.
This might never go out.
Yeah, good point. I didn't think we'd last a year, no. To be honest. I didn't think... I remember our initial thing was we wanted to have... What was it, 100 listeners mm-hmm.
yeah.
in a year?
That was the goal.
That was the goal. And we've now had cumulatively over a million.
Yeah, it's getting off 1.5 million now.
That is mental.
I didn't think we'd last a year after 6 months in when we're in hotel rooms and we were strung out on things and throwing right. TVs out the window and stuff. Yeah. Like the rock star lifestyle.
Do you know what I mean? We all got through heroin addiction, which was pretty good.
It was good.
Yeah, but we're here. We're still standing.
Does this mean we're on to now phase two?
Phase two.
This is nice. Phase two skips the end.
This is where we start doing some experimental stuff.
Oh, God. You said that was just for me and you in the bedroom. Anyway, that's what have we got on today's episode?
Oh, Lord. Loads.
It's absolutely hundreds
of a lot.
You know, we're going to be reviewing the new Adam Sandler film, Pixels.
Nice.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about our top three directorial debuts of all time. We are also going to be rewatching The Last Airbender. And we're also going to be talking about that little-known film, Sharknado 3.
Yes!
Oh, hell no, indeed,
because we reviewed Sharknado 2 on our first episode, so we thought it was a nice little bit of synergy that we do Sharknado 3 on our anniversary special. We're going to give away some shit.
Yep.
And
standard.
Plenty of other stuff as well. So, let's get started. So our topic on this episode is top three directorial debuts. Tough one, actually, because there were so many films that I didn't realise were the debut film of that particular director.
I guess, you have to consider it the cinematic debut, in a way, because some of them had done short film before, or TV film.
Yeah, you're
like
right, yeah. We're talking about their first feature film, yeah.
Absolutely. The first major release on screen, yeah, and there were some damn good ones.
Big time.
It's really opened my eyes up to... Sometimes, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, how some of these directors have gone quite far downhill after such a good start.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that will come in about 10 minutes when we start revealing who we've got. But
probably about 3 seconds.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Other than the first feature film rule, did you guys impose any other rule on yourselves? Or
I wanted to make sure it was a film that I felt looked good, not necessarily a good film, but was directorially good.
Yeah. I did the exact same thing, yeah. That showed talent, even if you didn't enjoy the film per se, or it's not a classic, but it showed their ability.
Or was something different kind of thing.
Something
I felt looked good from a director's standpoint, not necessarily it was just a great film, and they happened to be tagged onto it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did the same thing. Mark, throw us out. First one.
Ben Affleck, Gone Baby Gone.
Good choice.
Very good choice.
Damn good film.
What I thought was good about this is that everybody kind of already wrote him off as a director, even though he hadn't actually put anything out.
They had actually, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, people were saying, this guy has stick to acting, and even that, he isn't great. You know, people were looking at Pearl Harbor and stuff and saying, this guy's just a one-act pony and he's not very good. And I was like, pony? One-act pony? Well, you know, that's what they were saying. All the magazines, one-act pony.
Yeah, it's when it's in stuff like The War Horse when it's on stage, and the pony that they use only in the first act. It's a one-act pony.
That classic Hollywood
Shrek
phrase. 4
is going to be called one-act pony, but yeah. So anyway, back to Ben Affleck. Everyone was saying this guy is literally just going to stick to acting. What's he doing? He's getting ideas above his station. Other directors, you know, Ryan Gosling and stuff, haven't had this success, have tried it, and people have said, look, just stick to acting. But I think he's a better director than he is actor.
Yeah.
And at the moment, his CV is perfection.
3 for 3.
Yeah, and it's incredible to see that he has really learned, took on board, not rushed anything, and gone for Gone Baby Gone. And I absolutely love the film itself.
Yep.
But like you just said about 2 minutes ago, I looked at this film as how it was directed, the cinematography, the concept of filming, all the different angles he used, and that film is unbelievable.
It's brilliant.
Absolutely unbelievable.
One of the interesting things about Affleck is he seems to be written off most of his career. Most people seem to say, oh, he can't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, he can't be that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he definitely can't do that.
Yep.
And people are writing him off for Batman.
God, he can't be a good husband and last long in a marriage.
But yeah,
that's the one thing he did.
Brutal.
But you know, he's unbelievable at that. Yeah. Then he followed it up with
The Town. Yeah,
wasn't that? Yep. And then he did Argo.
And
that's perfect.
But it's like Adam said. You know, you were saying, people were saying, stick to the acting, don't be a director. I don't think that is what they were saying. I think Adam's right. They wrote him off. They said, don't be a director because we don't like you as an actor. So how can you do that if you can't even do this? Which is bullshit. He's a good actor. People wrote him off on the basis of Daredevil, which is wank.
Yeah.
And Geely, which is wank.
I've never seen that.
Shouldn't have to.
Daredevil.
Rewatch. Next week's rewatch.
Is that no one else who skipped back in time 2003?
So people wrote him off as, you know, within the industry full stop. And they said, oh, he can't possibly be a director. And he's a great one. And even though, you know, he's acted in a couple of the films he's directed, he's been really good in those as well. Yeah.
The Town, he's great.
He's great.
Argo,
he's
great.
He's great. And, you know, even things he hasn't directed, Gone Girl.
Great.
He's brilliant in that.
Fantastic.
I'm a fan of Affleck.
In fact, I think Gone Girl was the first film in a long time where he wasn't written off from day one.
Mm-hmm.
When they cast him, people who had read the book actually said, yeah, I can see him as him, actually.
Yeah.
He's a twat.
Yeah, I think I said it to you, because in the book he's sort of described as a bit of a smarmy douche. And I was like, yeah, Affleck can nail that.
But he looked great, and even in the trailer we were all excited, and luckily the film delivered the goods as well.
Yeah. These are all quite backhanded compliments, really. Yeah. No, I didn't write him off in that, because he could play a smarmy douche.
Put it this way, there's not another director out there right now that's got a CV that's this perfect, 3 for 3, you said.
No, yeah. No, Nolan's what? 9 for 10? Something like that.
And what's Kevin Smith?
I'm not even getting into that. But great director. And I'm really looking forward to seeing if it is true that he's going to have a trilogy of his own for Batman.
Yeah.
And even if he only gets one film, give it him, because I think he'll do well.
And if rumours are to be believed, these sort of secret screenings that they've had.
Very happy.
Yeah. You know, that's why they've given him the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, they actually want to build the franchise around him. Mm-hmm. And the sales of things. Yeah.
My Lord. I'm getting excited.
Big time. I know, I can see in your trousers. Adam, your pick.
Well, I'm going to choose a film that I've actually spoken about before. Directorial debut-wise, Josh Trank Chronicle.
Ooh, Josh Trank.
Ooh. Now,
talking about downhill trajectories.
I absolutely love Chronicle. I thought it was fantastic. It's a great little sort of low-budget film. It's got some amazing shots in it. It is found footage, and it's difficult to kind of tell, but he did it very well. There were a lot of good things in it. It was directed very well. Naturally, he did not do so well afterwards.
Yeah.
He's fucked. Let's just put it bluntly. he ain't going to work again.
No.
No, and it's obviously all culminated in the fact that he actually tweeted, didn't he, on the release day of Fantastic Four, talking about a film that will never be seen that was his vision for it. And it was quickly deleted, but Hollywood Reporter and people like that picked up on it, because you tweet something, it's there forever.
Of course, yeah.
Someone's going to screenshot it. It exists forever, even if you delete it. But this was a great film.
Yep.
It was a strong film. Mm-hmm. It was directed from start to finish very well.
Yeah.
And it was just a lovely little, I guess, indie sort of movie.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Yeah, I think it had, if memory serves, I think it had something like a 12 million budget.
Yeah.
And made 100 odd million back.
Exactly.
And to make a really good looking, interesting film on such a small budget, that's why they were willing to give him
exactly
the chance to do Fantastic Four.
Well, I remember reading they wanted Fantastic Four to be a bit like Chronicle. They wanted to show similar aspects, and clearly towards the end. And to be honest, if they've hired him on that basis, watching Fantastic Four, you can kind of think, well, maybe this isn't the film he set out to make.
Quite possibly, but I can't see.
I think it's a culmination of things. I don't think it's necessarily their fault or his fault. I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think he's at fault and they're at fault.
I think his initial vision was wrong, and I think the studio meddling certainly didn't help.
But to pull out of Star Wars Rogue Squadron, is it Rogue One?
Sacked.
Allegedly.
Yeah. But also, I read...
We can't just declare that he was.
But I also read today that he had been in physical fights with some of the actors from the film of Fantastic Four. Every day seems to be a new report that he would lock himself away. He'd go off to his house and be working on projects in his house and they wouldn't be able to get hold of him.
Yeah.
And he is just coming across a complete dick now. I started to think, oh, it's maybe the studio, but I think really it is a lot of him.
Yeah. There is two sides to every story, though. You don't know how the studio treated him. We don't know how he treated the studio. It could be. I think it's both. I think each of them had their part to play in the relationship breakdown. Mm-hmm. And I think each of them didn't really want anything to do with each other.
Yeah.
I think he didn't want to answer calls from them and they didn't want to call him.
I think the full story will eventually come out because I've heard that he's hired a lawyer. And when hire a lawyer, that means shit's
going
down.
There's stuff to be saying,
When you lawyer up.
When you lawyer up, shit's going down and then official statements will start coming out and I think we'll learn more over time.
But yeah. He's my number three. I think Chronicle is a great debut.
Nice.
Good choice. My first one, I've gone for a really easy and simple one. I've gone for Reservoir Dogs, Tarantino.
Nice. Number two.
Is that you got that one as well? Yeah. Straight out of the gate. I mean, It's a very simple film, actually. There are only sort of two or three locations in the whole film. It's just a very talky picture, like all of Tarantino's work is. But it's masterful. The fact that what we're talking now, nearly 25 years on, is still a film that people rave about and talk about and watch constantly.
And the cast.
Oh.
I mean, Steve Buscemi, Harvey Keitel, Tim Roth.
Yeah. Michael Madsen. Unbelievable cast.
It was phenomenal. Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal.
And I love the fact that half of that cast are now in Hateful Eight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I'm getting so excited for that.
Tarantino likes to reuse people he's used before hugely. So, no, I love Reservoir Dogs. Like you say, it's simple, but it's brilliant.
Yeah, it is. It's just a classic. And I know it is, I was going to say ripped off, but it's an homage to a Chinese film, I think, called City on Fire, which is basically the exact same plot. And I don't think Tarantino actually credited them at the time. But so what? The thing about Tarantino, he's a sponge for his influences. Every film he does, you can see everything that he's seen and then he reinterprets it. Yeah. And he's a genius at that. And that film is... Oh,
it's the prime example of Tarantino, potentially at his best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything in it is... The script... is masterful.
Hilarious, that film.
And to think that, I think it has a very small budget. I think it's about 1 million.
Yeah.
Something like that. I think it only made 2 million at the box office, but by God, it must have made more than that now.
I would imagine it's made its budget back many times over on poster sales.
Yep.
How many people have got that Reservoir Dogs poster?
Every student at uni.
Exactly.
You had to have that. Yeah.
So yeah. It's
I don't think there's a director as well, him and maybe Cameron Crowe, that can pick a better soundtrack. I always will buy the soundtrack to one of his films, even if I didn't like the film.
The Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction soundtracks.
Magnificent.
I still play them to this day.
I mean, where would you rate Tarantino as a director? I mean, obviously with the Kevin Smith test we've done, good versus bad.
I don't think he's done a bad film. I didn't particularly care for Kill Bill 2. I don't count Death Proof.
Because it's part of the grind.
Exactly. That was a folly. That was a bit of fun he did with Rodriguez. I don't count that as part of his actual
Tarantino
body of work.
Universe.
Yeah, yeah. So of his eight, or Hateful Eight will be his eighth, of those, the only one I don't really care for is Kill Bill 2.
Mm.
Even Jackie Brown, which he didn't, which it was based on a novel, I think is fucking marvellous. Yeah. I love that film. So he's damn near flawless for me.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to pick it. I could have put money on that.
Yeah.
Want to hear my number two?
Yeah, why not?
Quite a recent one. Damien Chazelle for Whiplash.
Yeah.
Now,
can't disagree.
We don't know what he's going to do next, so we're really unassured. He could completely, do a Josh Trank and we could see something dreadful, but he handled that project perfectly. He didn't have a huge budget, but I'm talking all the editing, the filming, the intents that he gave us. We all were sitting in the cinema with our hearts racing on that film.
Mm-hmm.
That final 15 minutes alone deserves the credit to be on this episode.
Yep.
Like, I just can't think of anyone that has had such an impact where we've all come out of the cinema going, what the hell? That was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his first go at it. Yeah. Look at the cast.
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, J.K. Simmons, whatever he does, seems to work. But in that film, he just took it to the next level. And how nice was it to see him get the Oscar?
Yeah, he's been a fantastic supporting actor for years.
Yeah.
Except, obviously, in Spider-Man 3.
And I really don't like saying that he's the supporting actor in this film.
Oh, he was the co-lead, really. Yeah.
It was superb. Everything, even the car crash in the film, the way that even just a little drum roll with the sticks just slightly hitting the snare.
Yeah.
Just that was incredible.
Like you mentioned just now, the sort of the end scene where he's at the at the big performance or whatever it is. And I think there's, it's like 8-9 minutes long of him drumming. It's just watching a dude drum. And I've never been on the edge of my seat more in a film. It was breathless. I came out of it breathless.
Yeah.
It's incredible, the fact as well. I mean, I remember when this came out on Blu-ray a few weeks ago, I sat with my parents and watched it. And when I said to my parents, it's a film about a jazz drummer, and you basically, I'm not going to tell you what happens, Mum and Dad, because it will spoil it. And they both turned around to me, you know, my parents in their 50s and 60s, went, that was absolutely incredible. Mm. And if I told them at the start, it is only a film about jazz drumming, they would not want to watch it.
Yeah.
But it's more of a drama, it's a thriller, everything.
Yeah. I think it is summed up in the last 9 minutes, when it's just sort of drumming with intermittent shots of Andrew and Fletcher just looking at each other with these really intense looks. And there's a moment of, it's kind of a bit of a turn there where Fletcher realises that how good Andrew is becoming.
Yeah.
And starts to just kind of, instead of wanting to put him off, he starts to spur him on more. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic.
It's a great film. And I'll tell you what, the studio did a bang up job with advertising it, because like you say, Mark, it would have been a hard sell to your parents if you told them what it was. And it's a hard sell to the public. Here's a film by a director you've never heard of about a jazz drummer. Yeah, I'm not going to see that.
Yeah.
But the trailer they cut, you watch that and you think, fucking hell, this looks mental. And it was brilliant. So that this, you know, kudos to the studio for making it a thing that people wanted to see.
Just listen to us all now, how excited we are. We're all sitting here like, yes.
Yeah.
And that's the power he had. So I'm really looking forward to see what he does next. Mm-hmm. And I hope he gets, not a huge studio like doing a Fantastic Four, I hope he just does something quite small again.
I think he's doing
Think he's doing another film about jazz, which I think, you know,
just be a guitarist. Yeah. Can't play the right notes. But yeah, that'd be good to see.
Yeah.
We've just had Adam's number two, haven't we?
Yeah, we've
read. Oh, you've had yours two as well. Okay.
Down to you then.
My next one then, I'm gonna go for Richard Kelly for Donnie Darko.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about this film quite a bit, and it was one of my top sci-fis and all that sort of stuff. This is one of those where in the intro to this, we were talking about people who just did something out there and different, like the directorial stamp was on it. And this was like nothing I'd ever seen, Donnie Darko. It's such a freaky film.
Yeah.
It's a time travel film, but it's nothing like any time travel film you've ever seen. It's kind of a horror in parts, but it's not like any other horror you've seen. It's freaky and it's weird and it's, you know, I thought it was a work of genius. And I watched that thinking, what is Richard Kelly going to do next? Mm. He did Southland Tales. Shame.
Shouldn't have to.
And then he did The Box, which I assume neither of you have seen, because no one's seen it.
No.
And he's done nothing since. It is a shame, because this guy's got clearly raw talent.
Hang on, is The Box with Cameron Diaz?
Yes.
Yeah, I have seen it. It was absolutely horrendous. but I actually remember what... Yeah, yeah. Donnie Darko. I still can't believe that film, I found out actually, was put on a shelf for 2 years until they found a distributor. That's insane.
It's crazy.
Again, it's, you know, like we were talking about with Whiplash, it's a hard sell. It's not a film you could sell to a studio easily. It's no wonder they put it on the shelf, because they're thinking, how can we sell this to the public? What would you say it's about? And bearing in mind, at this point, Jake Gyllenhaal wasn't famous. You couldn't even say it's a new Jake Gyllenhaal film. It was a film with nobodies about time travel and a weird rabbit man. How are you going to sell that?
I loved it when you talked about this on a previous episode, and you said that you went after you'd seen it on the internet. And it's one of those films you had to read all these different theories and what people were saying. Like Lost, remember where everyone was... And I remember sitting there and reading all this different stuff. And it's probably one of the last films I've done that. I haven't done that recently. We need more films like that.
Yeah, I love that. When a film or TV show draws you in.
And this is what happened. Yeah. This is what. And if you look at this one scene, he's actually got this piece of paper in his hand. All these different theories. Yeah. We need more like that.
We do.
When we do The Room 2, let's make a bit of that in it, yeah?
Yeah.
And some time travel in there. Though.
Yeah. Well, we need to, don't we, to get Johnny back alive.
No, it's ghost. He's a ghost. It's fine.
I don't know. I like the idea. Okay, well, let's discuss that later. Yeah.
Let's do this off air. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on then, Mark. What's yours?
Number one. Is it Frank Depardieu?
Nope.
I thought it might be, actually. I thought it might be Frank Depardieu.
Sam Mendes for American Beauty.
Really?
Yeah.
Shame.
Really good film. You're quite lucky, actually, because you know what I was going to come and say?
What?
Kevin Smith, Clerks.
Christ.
But I thought, I'm not having you. American Beauty was brilliant.
You change your list based on Ben's opinion.
Do we really need another episode of me talking about Clerks or The Thing?
No.
Yes.
So American Beauty, for me, I saw at the cinema and I thought it was a beautifully shot film. I thought it was never going to be someone's debut ever with the kind of budget they had and the production. And do you remember the famous scene when she's lying there with all the rose petals and stuff? That's not a first time director's go, and it's just incredible to get Kevin Spacey on board again. The storyline I thought was really good. It was a film that came from nowhere. We didn't have these big trailers and all this. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's this film coming. And look what he's gone on to do since.
What has he gone on to do since?
Not a lot.
Did he do Jarhead, or am I?
I think he might have done Jarhead.
Yeah.
And that's a great film.
But no, what a great debut. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great film, very original, and I just love, if you watch it again, I bet you haven't watched it for years.
No.
Go back and watch it. You'll be shocked how great it's filmed.
All I remember is that teenager yapping on about a plastic bag.
And kept looking at girls getting dressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't like that film at all.
Watch it again. It's great.
It's a beautiful looking film. Yeah. The construction of it and the shots are great. I just didn't like the film. Although Spacey is fantastic in it, of course.
Yeah.
And as it is in everything.
Everything, yeah.
Even bad films, he's the best thing in it.
Superman Returns.
Shame.
I'm not talking about that film. Adam.
On the topic of Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Recently we did a special, Death of Superman Lives, What Happened? About the obviously failing Superman Lives film that got cancelled, starring Nicolas Cage's Superman. Mm-hmm. My next choice actually appeared in that film. Dan Gilroy.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That's a great shout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a debut film. Yeah. How well shot is Nightcrawler?
Oh, I
watched it again recently. It's intense from the moment it starts. When you're just cutting that wire and the cops come and see him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Straight away, like, this is going to be good.
So intense. It's ridiculous. And just some of the shots. And when he arrives on the scene of the murder and he's the camera, all you see is through the camera going around the house, picking up all this.
So good.
Yeah. It's just so well done.
Really dark.
For a debut. I mean, I know Dan Gilroy's been around in Hollywood for a while.
He's been a scriptwriter for a long time. It was his first directorial.
But his first directorial role, he does something like that. And it is magnificent. To have a film in which there's only real three characters really in it, three, maybe four if you count the other reporter who kind of has the bits of sort of arguments with.
Yeah.
But to keep a film, similar to Whiplash really, to keep a film that intense and that keep the audience held over just someone going around at night filming different accidents and things that are happening, it's unbelievable. And it's all through the way it's all through the way it's shot.
Yeah. And I've never been to Los Angeles, so I can't say whether this is true or not, but a couple of reviews I read at the time said that it was the best or most realistic portrayal of Los Angeles. The way the shots, it actually looks like LA. Most LA you see in Hollywood films is this bright and sunny and palm trees and all that kind of shit, and that's not the real LA. That's the Hollywood LA, but apparently this film captured it.
And it does strike you as someone who has been around LA for a while.
Mm-hmm. Like Edgar Daniel Wright.
Like Dan Gilroy going out and saying, let's do something about what Hollywood is really like.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what it is. It's
I love that film.
A whole film.
I watched
about
it again. It's so good.
People making money off someone else's misery.
Mm-hmm.
The power he has as well. When he's proper, you know, going up to him saying, look, if you want me, this is what you got. He basically says, you're going to have sex with me.
And the
power he has. And she can't even say no because he's like, oh, it's chilling, that film.
He doesn't even flinch when he's saying it to her as well. He's just so down the line and calm and collected about it. It's
the ending as well.
Yeah.
Let's spoil it. If you're listening and you haven't sort of pause it and go back 10 minutes. But he lets his employee die in front of him just for so better footage.
He films it, goes under the camera. Yeah.
Horrific.
That's a great film. Another Gyllenhaal film in our list.
He's done pretty well today on the topic. Yeah.
He helps debut directors.
Apparently so, yeah. If you're a newly fledged director, you're making your first film, give Jake a call. He'll
Let's get him in the room too.
He's got better things to do.
Mac and me too? He could be,
he's
he
already
could
signed
be
up,
Mac.
Paul Rudd's in, so we'll get him to call him. I'm assuming they're friends.
Ben, it's your turn. It's your topic. Tell me what your favourite.
It's not necessarily my favourite. They're not in order, but the last one of mine is Spike Jonze being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fucking great film. Weird, wacky, bizarre film. Perfect kind
of Spike Jonze film.
Perfect Spike Jonze film because his sensibilities are so weird and so out there. And that film is so weird and so out there. I love that film. And to be honest, I've not seen it in years and I really want to watch it again.
I haven't either, no.
Because I forget how good it is. And I forget how great Cameron Diaz is in it. Because she does a lot of sort of lightweight, fluffy roles. She doesn't do a lot of deep roles, and she's great in that. And John Malkovich himself, when he turns up towards the end, is hilarious.
That film's amazing.
A really self-deprecating role, but it's brilliant, and it's Spike Jonze all over. If you didn't know it was a Spike Jonze film, and you just watched it midway through, you go, "Did Spike Jonze direct this?"
Yeah, definitely.
Because you would just know.
Yeah.
And everything he does has that kind of weird, wacky tinge to it.
But it never seems
too bizarre.
It never seems too bizarre or laboured or enforced. I have sort of a love-hate thing with Wes Anderson because I think there are times when his work is too twee and he's trying too hard for it
it's
to be.
It's too Wes Anderson.
It's too Wes Anderson. And I love Grand Budapest Hotel, but stuff he's done prior to that I've not loved really since Royal Tenenbaums. So I'm hot and cold. But whereas Spike Jonze, he's staying on the right side of his Jonesisms are still fine by me. And it's because he doesn't do a lot of film. I think he's directed three or four
films.
Yeah,
I think he spaces them out as well quite well. Yeah. It's sort of like 2001, 2004, 2007.
And we've all, 2012. You know, we've all jizzed over Her before, how great that film is.
Massively.
Yeah.
Her is brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting a bit quiet.
Why?
I was just thinking, Sam Mendes, what's he done recently? It was really annoying me. Uh-huh. He did Skyfall.
Oh, he did?
So that,
he did.
Yeah, that
and he's doing the next
me.
Bond as well.
And he's doing
he?
The next Spectre. So he's done all right. Yeah. We're sitting there going, I don't know what he's done. That's pretty good going.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was annoying me.
We'll be reviewing Spectre if we're still around.
Oh, hell yeah. Yes. If we're still around. If the lawyers haven't had us by then.
Do you want to hear what...
We might not, actually. We might just go and do loads of independent films as phase two.
But then we come back in a year to do the, sort like of the Avengers version.
Do you want to hear what social media said?
Nah.
We've got Gemma again. Popcorn Heart. She's told us, Rob Reiner for This Is Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Hell to the yes.
Totally agrees with you on Spike Jonze. And is it Rian Johnson for Brick?
Yeah, I don't know if it's Rian or Ryan.
Yeah,
his name.
I'm not going to get crucified for pronouncing that wrong.
No, that's fine because I don't know either.
That's a great film.
Shame.
Good friend of the podcast. It's nice that this year anniversary we bring up the old names. Elizabeth Marshall, Peter Feynman for Crocodile Dundee. That's a great call.
She's having a laugh.
Frank Dipapon. For The Shawshank Redemption. That's insane.
Because you told me this in the week that was...
his debut.
I can't remember his real name
Frank
now.
Cause Frank Darabont.
Frank Darabont. You told me in the week that was his debut and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's... I think it's still number one or number two on the
it's
IMDb
number one.
Top
number
50.
One.
Yeah. You've
debut. Ruined the game.
Oh, shit. Was that going to be...
Yeah. But yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
And Stephen Daldry for Billy Elliot. Nice British film. Yeah. Ben Hale-Lefian. This is one I thought you were going to say. District 9.
Yeah.
I really thought you were going to say Neil Blomkamp.
Blomkamp. And if he hadn't then made the same film twice
Two
afterwards,
more times.
Yeah, I probably would have said that.
Shallow Grave, Danny Boyle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good film.
Yeah. Fair play. And Clerks, Kevin Smith.
Shame.
Marcus Yao at The Yao Boy. Quentin Tarantino. Mm-hmm. Again, Rian Johnson. And this is one, is it Shane Carruth for Primer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the film I've talked about.
Yeah, I didn't realise that was a debut.
Yeah.
The guy that does all the art for our podcast, Paul Dawson, an absolute legend.
Yep.
Agrees with Donnie Darko. Again, Ben Affleck, but a Eraserhead, David Lynch.
Yep. Great.
Have you seen that film? Yeah. Insane.
Really good.
One that I nearly used, Graham Doyle, Jewel, Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I've never
film.
Seen that film. Is that the one with a big truck? Or
yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. Say Anything, Cameron Crowe, and The Man Without a Face, Mel Gibson. I've never seen that. I'm going to put my hand up and say, I've never seen that.
He's a man without a career now.
A couple more. Lee Relton, John Lasseter for Toy Story.
Yeah, was that really?
I
guess it was basically the original Pixar film, wasn't it? So
I didn't count it purely because it's all animated and it's not really direction per se.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I get what you're saying, yeah.
Ruben Fleischer for Zombieland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane. The editing at the start, just the credits alone.
I don't know if Ruben Fleischer's done anything since. I assume he must have, but I can't. I don't know why.
Probably just doesn't want to ruin his legacy. Just let him have that.
Yeah.
We'll see what's be one for one.
Yeah.
And finally, one that nearly made my list. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Shane Black.
Yes.
What a film.
Another one like Dan Gilroy, who's been a screenwriter for many, many years, and that was his first go at directing.
Amazing.
And he nailed it.
Some great films there.
Really good films. Yeah.
Is it my turn to set the topic?
It is.
I believe so.
We're going to stick with a top three. It's going to be nice and simple. All I want to know next time is your top three British films.
Interesting.
We've never covered it. No. We did the World Cinema and went overseas.
Yeah.
Let's keep it to our hometown.
Okay.
Pick our top three
mm-hmm.
next episode.
Let's do that.
Cool.
We've been to see Pixels, the latest supposedly comedy film starring Adam Sandler, Peter Dinklage, Josh Gad, and Paul Blart Mall Cop. The story is about, what did they do? They sent like a capsule into space in the 80s, which had video games in. Aliens saw it and were like, oh, that's a declaration of war.
Yeah.
So they sent Pac-Man to kill us.
Pretty much.
That's the film, innit?
Yeah, it's exactly what happens.
Yeah. Adam, thoughts?
Oh, I think Paul Blart Mall Cop's done well to be promoted to president.
I didn't see that coming.
No.
No.
That was interesting.
Yeah. That's the American dream, though, isn't it, really? From Mall Cop to president.
To president, yeah. And I think, I'm not sure what the time spans allegedly are since Paul Blart 2 to Pixels.
Not sure.
But, you know, he's done well to be a mall cop in, I think it was Vegas in the second.
Yeah, I mean, because usually you have to be like a congressman or a senator and then work your way up. He's gone from mall cop to the top job.
I assume he saved someone quite important and they just said, we like this guy, let's get him to be president.
Could have been.
I think that's how it works. There's not an election, is there?
Well, I mean, you know, Reagan became president because he was a cowboy in some films. So,
true.
You know, there are different avenues.
So Paul Blart Mall Cop done the same thing.
There you go.
Do you like the film?
No.
Tell us why. Come on, you're our resident gamer.
It's awful. It's just terrible. I mean, and was I the only one that was slightly offended by the racism of just hiring a Japanese man to play the game creator and then have him talk in a funny accent?
Yeah, although the real Pac-Man creator is also in the film. He just plays like a mechanic or something, but they couldn't get him to play himself because he doesn't speak English.
So, yes, it was quite racist, really. Why not just have him talk Japanese?
Well, yeah, they could have done that. Yeah, that's true.
Seeing as Pac-Man is Japanese.
Yeah. They just wanted a fella to do a stereotypical East Asian accent and go, oh, Pac-Man, you are my son.
Exactly.
Exactly,
yeah.
That's it.
Absolutely disgraceful.
Yeah.
Paul Blart running around. He's not even... Yeah, I know he's a president now, but you'd think he'd still have some semblance of his training from being a mall cop.
Yeah. None of it.
None of it.
You think, actually, all those years spent as a mall cop, you think he would have lost some weight as well?
Yeah, well, you'd think so.
No.
But then you've just got little lad.
Yeah, little fella.
Peter Dinklage.
Pretty good.
Running around. Or driving around, cheating.
Yeah.
Awful. I'm not happy. I mean, you say you're a resident gamer, talk about it, but what does this have to do with any games
ever?
It has
nothing to do with games.
Or it's just the central premise is, oh, here are some old arcade games. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, Adam Sandler's a nerd who played games in the 80s.
Yeah.
These are all the games from the 80s, and that's why he can save the world. No, he can't. Get your golf club back. Do Happy Gilmore 2. Oh, no, don't ruin that legacy, actually. No. You'll probably bring Paul Blart into it.
See, this is my problem. I actually quite enjoyed the film, I'll be honest with you. I thought it was just a good bit of fluff. You know, it was absolutely fine. It was mildly amusing. I didn't hate it. My issue with it is I don't know who it's for, because people who played Pac-Man and the original Donkey Kong arcades, people who they're in mid to late 30s now, they're not going to be interested in this film because it's daft and pointless. It's kind of aimed at little kids, but little kids don't know or care who the fuck Pac-Man is.
No.
Kids are too busy shooting each other in the head on Call of Duty. They don't give a fuck about Donkey Kong.
No.
So who's this for?
They're wondering who Centipede is.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, oh, that game looks shit. You know, they wouldn't care.
Donkey Shame. Kong, what's that about?
Donkey Dong.
Exactly. Centipedo. But yeah. I'll tell you what, my hate for Josh Gad has gone up bigger than ever. Uh-huh. I mean, I think he's a twat, right? And I'm going to say it. And I've never respected him in any of his films he's done. I've never gone, oh, actually, he's quite funny. He's just one of those annoying twats.
Yeah.
In this film, it's like, come along and be the biggest twat you've ever been, but make it on the proportions that you could... not only dream of being such a fucking annoying fat twat, and he's done it.
Yeah, but what do you really think?
He is really annoying me in this film, and yeah, I really I can't stand like him. I don't find him funny.
No.
And he's earning more money than all of us put together and most of the people we know, and I don't understand how.
Yeah.
Because he's not funny. He's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. There's this Hollywood tradition of getting funny fat guys.
Yeah.
You know, your Jack Blacks and your Paul Blart Mall Cops. And he's the next one in line. But he's not funny.
No.
He's just not
Seth
funny.
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen. And I like Seth Rogen. He's done a lot of shit films, but he's a good dude. And I think he's an innately funny man. Whereas Josh Gad isn't. He's
and
just
what's
not
the guy
funny.
From
he just overacts. Jonas Hill, you'd call
him. Yeah, Jonas Hill.
But he went on, he's gone on and done some serious roles, and now I really respect him.
He's good.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill was fantastic in Wolf of Wall Street.
Exactly. And look how good he is.
Mm-hmm. He's a good
guy.
Actor.
Don't give this guy a serious role.
I think that's where your career kind of goes. I think once you've done a few comedies, you kind of either go off into the serious stuff and do really well for yourself, or you end up in this.
Yeah, well, yeah. The thing is, Josh Gad, he was one of the original cast members of the Book of Mormon, you know, the South Park Guys Broadway show, and he won a Tony for it, I think. And by all accounts, he's fantastic in that. I'd love to have seen him in that and see if that suits him and his sensibilities. Because just anything I've seen him do in TV or film, I can't stand the man.
The only roles he should be given are cheese rolls.
Or rolls on Broadway, apparently.
Or rolls around his stomach. I hate him. I absolutely hate him. Can we not talk about him?
Let's focus on
Adam Sandler. He was all right in this.
He was fine, but he was sleepwalking.
Yeah.
You know he was phoning that in.
Yeah.
Because all his films now, he phones them in.
He was terrible.
I didn't really find him that offensive in this. I don't know.
I can see why he won a Skippy.
Oh, yeah. He was a deserved Skippy winner.
He's losing it this year.
You reckon?
Yeah. Especially with fucking Knobhead. That's what his name is now, Knobhead.
Who?
Josh Gad. No, don't mention his name. I hate him.
Knobhead, yeah.
But yeah, he's going to take the Lifetime Achievement Award for this. But Adam Sandler, I felt, wasn't too annoying. Like you said, he was just there earning the money. You could see it in his eyes.
It's all about the bunts for him.
I thought the CGI was good.
I did.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought it looked great, actually.
Which annoyed me even more.
You said this because of Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
This is a big budget film that has the worst CGI I've ever seen. They can get it right in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why can't you get it right, Fox?
Exactly.
Or Avengers at the start of second one. Dreadful.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful looking film. Yeah. I thought it was a great, you know, treat for the eyes. But
it could have worked as well.
Yeah.
But it could have worked 20 years ago when we were all playing Pac-Man and Donkey Kong.
The CGI probably wouldn't have been as good.
No. Well, probably would.
But then again, it was all 8-bit, wasn't it?
So it could have been great.
Yeah, it's fine. I thought he phoned it in, as he tends to do now. What I don't understand about Adam Sandler films is how he always ends up with these really hot women. He's not an unattractive fella. He's just sort of a bland, boring, tubby dude, but he ends up pulling women like Michelle Monaghan in every film. And not only do they find him physically attractive, they fall for his charms, of which he has none. Why is this?
I don't know.
Oh, I'll tell you why it is. It's because the film is written by Tim Herlihy, who is his best friend, who writes all his films.
There you go.
So of course he makes him out to be the hero.
Quick question.
Time.
It's a bit like It's a bit like Tommy Wiseau, isn't it? Getting a good, nice girl to kiss throughout the film.
Quick question. What points did you laugh?
I didn't really. I smiled a bit, and I might have had the odd little chuckle. There were no belly laughs.
I smiled when I saw Dan Aykroyd on screen again.
I was furious. I was furious when I saw Dan Aykroyd. Yeah, I was like, why the fuck is he doing this?
Yep.
Because he's a legend.
I was the same as
Ben. I just
liked
to see him, though. I was like, oh, he's still alive. That's good.
Yeah, I didn't laugh at all. And this is a comedy film.
Yeah.
This is not a good film.
I think I smiled.
I smiled quite a bit. I thought it was fine. I thought it was pleasant enough. Easy Sunday afternoon watching.
Don't worry, I'm not giving it an 8, don't worry. I'm not
you will. You'll give it a 10.
9, but no.
Christ.
It was just, I think it's just because we'd seen Fantastic Four last, and we could have done anything and I'd have liked it more. I really was disgusted with that film, and this was just, I was going in with so low, literally my expectations were lower than his gut, and I walked in and I was like, this is all right, this is harmless.
That's what it is, it was lowered expectations, because we'd seen Fantastic Four, that was high expectation, it was shit. Prior to that we saw Ant-Man, high expectation, it was amazing. This one, it was just a bit of fluff, we didn't have to worry about it, we just went to see a film, and I was fine with it.
But how good did the trailer for this film look?
It looked great because it looked completely new and interesting. Yeah. And I know what you're going to say. The film clearly didn't deliver on the promises of the trailer. It didn't, you're right. But it was fine. I don't hate it. It's one of those that if I'm in a couple of years' time, I'll be flicking around the TV and it'll come on ITV2 on a Sunday afternoon. I go, oh, Pixels, I'll watch that.
Other channels are available.
We should have an Adam Sandler day with like Click. What else
all
has
the
he
hits.
Done?
Yeah. Jack and
I'd
Jill.
Rather give myself a
Jack
comic.
And Jill needs to be a rewatch.
A thing that annoyed me actually in the film. Paul Blart Mall Cop, his wife is played by Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock and Kimmy Schmidt.
And Ally McBeal.
Indeed. She is a multiple time Emmy nominee, award nominated winning actress. She's a fantastic actress.
Her.
She's a brilliant comedian, as is proven by her show.
Nothing to do.
Nothing to do. She has about 3 lines in about 3 scenes. There's a bit where her and Paul Blart Mall Cop eat cake. Which is, you know, just standard for him, I assume. I assume that was in his contract.
He wasn't meant to be in that scene. He's just sitting there eating.
Why get Jane Krakowski and not use her? That is mental.
She, in all fairness, she might have requested it just so she can star opposite Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Possibly. Or she might have been in loads of scenes. She saw it and went, can you cut me out of this?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that too.
But she was wasted.
I think it's more likely that she went, Paul Blart Mall Cop, after he saved all those people. I want to stand next to him for a bit. Can you get me in the film?
Yeah, could well be.
Because, I mean, Paul Blart Mall Cop's a documentary, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Two films before. Do you think, serious question, we'll get the perfect trilogy in Paul Blart Mall Cop 3?
I bloody hope so.
I think we will.
I don't think you can really class it as a trilogy with it being a documentary.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it's just following his life around,
it is,
it?
Yeah.
I'd be very interested in another documentary now that he's president.
That would be fantastic, because we'll get to see how he became president from Mall Cop to Prez. That's going to be...
His whole campaign to become president. Wow.
That is the American dream.
It really is.
Vote Paul. I like it.
Yeah.
vote Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Mm. Like, you know, the vote for Pedro, Napoleon Dynamite, vote for Paul. Yeah. Let's get some t-shirts made.
But he had a different name in this film. I don't know. Maybe he's going under like a pseudonym or maybe he's on the run. I don't know.
He's got like a twin brother, don't you?
Yeah. He could do, yeah.
He's president. And he's obviously not as good as president.
Dave Blart.
Yeah, maybe Dave Blart's the president, Paul Blart's the mole cop.
Could well be.
I know I'd rather have support from.
Me too. The one who carries a gun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not a gut.
Should we give this a score? I'm sick of it.
I'm not going to go first.
Adam, you go first, because you clearly... Really?
No,
that bad?
It's not that bad.
No, it's an opinion honestly held. Course. If you believe it's a two, it's a two. For me, it's a six. It was inoffensive fluff.
Six?
That's not
Think
bad.
Think about what you're doing.
What did you give Monsters Dark Continent and Four, Mac and Me?
Think about it.
It's a six for me. It was absolutely fine.
So if you were flicking through the channels and Mac and Me 2 was on,
yeah,
and Paul Blart, Mac and Me So 1 was on,
yeah,
and Paul Blart in this Pixels film was on, you'd rather watch Pixels.
Definitely.
Because
I've been following Paul Blart Mall Cop's political career for so many years that I need to see what he's up to.
Honestly, tell me that you'd rather watch Pixels than Mac and Me.
Yeah, Mac and Me's garbage. Mac and Me 2 coming summer 2018.
I think that's a masterpiece. But anyway, I'm going to give it a 4, which makes it 12, which overall will be 4.
Fair enough.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
On the scheme of things, we're quite happy then. It's kind of in the middle of you two.
It's very rare that I give a film a higher score.
When you actually listen back to this, you're going to be like, what? What?
I've had a couple of beers.
I think we need to make you watch Pixels again.
I actually don't realise you... Yeah, let's go on the website and see what else you've given this sort of rating to. This is like Birdman, I think, for you. If you go from Birdman to Turdman.
I think I gave Interstellar 5.
In all fairness, I'd rather watch this than Interstellar again.
Right, you get a 4. What's our next film?
That's a great question. What is our next film? Oh, it's Legend.
With Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy playing both of the Kray twins.
Really,
that's
going to
be interesting.
Yeah, it's
really
going to be fantastic.
Stay tuned for that, guys. Let's get another drink.
It's Get Back in Time. So it's 2003 this time.
Yep.
Last week was 2004, obviously. We're moving back.
Hold on. What's the next one going to be?
2002, I think.
That's chronology.
And such is the way time works. I'm not going to be allowed to introduce anything ever again.
No.
But it's 2003 this time around. So best film of 2003, Ben.
Old Boy. Boom.
Same.
Done it. Have you gone for Old Boy as well? Excellent.
Old Boy.
Fantastic film, yeah.
The word masterpiece is used far too much just by Mark. Far too much in general.
About shit 80s films generally.
But far too much in general as well. But this is a masterpiece. This is something that was completely left field.
Mm-hmm.
I think me and you have spoke at length about it before. You just don't see that ending coming.
No, you do not.
So what is Old Boy about, Ben?
Old Boy is about a fella who wakes up in a small room. It's kind of like a prison cell, but it's like a hotel room. He's been there for 15 years, and he doesn't know why. In that time, he's taught himself martial arts by punching a wall, which is, you know, far-fetched, but I'll go with it. He's then released after 15 years. He doesn't know who captured him, but he now has to work out who it was that put him there and why. And he finds out, and do you know what? No, we give away a lot of spoilers on this show, but I don't want to say...
No, I don't know.
Because it's too good. Go and watch. If you've not seen Old Boy, for Christ's sake, go and watch it. The original.
The Josh Brolin version.
No. Yeah, go and watch the original. It's a fantastic film. Park Chan-wook, the director, it's a brilliant piece of work. And it's a shame now because that kind of brought him to Hollywood's attention. And he's done a couple of English language films since that aren't very good. Mm. I want him to go back to his Korean roots and just do what he's good at and lower budgets and less expectations because this is a fucking masterpiece.
Oh, absolutely.
It really, truly is.
It, like I said, it was something left field. Obviously, we don't want to give away the ending here, but it is such a shock.
Yeah.
It's so surprising.
Yeah.
That you sit there for about 10 minutes after the film's ended, just, what?
Yeah, yeah. Anything, you know, you're watching this film, you're thinking, well, who could have imprisoned him and why has he been released? The million and one reasons you come up with in your head will never be the actual thing. You would never have saw that come in.
Very gruesome film.
I'm going to go and watch this now.
You've seen it before, haven't you?
A million times.
Yeah, yeah.
I absolutely love it. And just talking about it now, I'm like, you forget when you're watching it because you get so drawn into it that it still surprises you.
Watch it tonight and then watch the remake after.
No.
Because I've been saying that. We've said this so many times on the podcast.
It's one of my favourite films.
Yeah. But you need to watch the remake just to see how bad it is.
I sat there for about probably 20 minutes looking through films from 2003, just trying to figure out which one was my best. My favourite from 2003. And as I was going through, I was like, some of this is absolute garbage. Mm. So I thought, yeah, I'll take a look at what won the Oscar that year. Lord of the Rings. Nope. No. Not the best film of that year.
No.
And then I came across Old Boy and I just could not move on from it. It had to be.
I think it was probably my easiest choice thus far.
It's weird because this could have been the first ever week that we had all agreed on one.
Imagine.
But I've ballsed it up. I was going to say
The same one last time, actually, didn't we?
We did.
But to have all three, we've got one day we'll
one
do
day
it.
We will, yeah.
But I'm going to be
honest. What year did Mac and Me come out?
No, I was there, sitting there, saying Old Boy is an absolute classic. I love Finding Nemo. I thought that was an incredible film. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of Pixel films. And I was weighing up Pixel. See, it's still in my head, Pixels. Damn you.
You think about Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
And I was weighing them up. And then it was only this year that I watched this film and it came into my life. And I thought, actually, do you know what? If you go on our website, you can see it says our name, the year. Mm-hmm. And when I ever die, I want this to be on my website on there so I'm remembered for it. And I'm going to pick it. 2003, The Room. I'm not joking.
You twat.
No, I want it.
Listen,
I want it.
I've grown to love The Room because it's just
it's been brought into my life. Adam's quit the podcast.
Adam's quit. He's just thrown his headphones down.
You heard
disgust.
That? He's gone.
He's off. He's gone.
I'm having The Room.
You're mental. I love that film.
It's brought something to my life.
It's crazy,
it's hilarious and funny.
But is it the best film?
Yes.
No, it isn't, Mark.
Tommy Wiseau produced something and he nearly made my top directorial debuts as well. I want that to be on the website, a picture of Tommy, and it's my choice. I want it to be known that I love that film.
You're an idiot.
2003, The Room.
Moron.
I'm laughing at it. It's better than Kill Bill that year.
End the segment.
Skip back into. I want it.
This is our anniversary show. Coincidentally, our last show.
Last skip back in time we're doing.
The Room. Sorry, lads. I want it. It's our own personal choice. We said we respect it.
Yeah. What did everyone else come out with?
Okay, we went to Twitter. These two are genuinely annoyed.
Of course, we are.
It's a great film. You don't have the love for it yet. I think it takes another watch, like Napoleon.
The best film of 2000.
I think it's hilarious.
It is great.
It's not the best film of that year.
For me, it is.
Oh, Boy was out.
Yeah, but it wasn't Tommy's dialogue.
Might have been Police Academy 7 or something. Well, that must have been better.
Why did we always get the Police Academy? That's going to be a rewatch.
Mission to Moscow.
At McGuinness90, which is Garrett McGuinness, has said The Last Samurai. Now, I don't think it's the best film, but it was a film that I really enjoyed.
It's a film I bought twice.
The winner of last week's competition, Mike Brown. Tough one between The Room or Old Boy, but he's going with Old Boy. Because
of course he is. He has sense.
Because his brain
you know
works.
What he said? Because he hopes that all the copies of The Room should be buried like the Atari game E.T.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
Of course you don't. It's your best film of 2003.
Big time. Midnight Smokers put Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one.
That was okay, actually.
It's good. I like the first one. The first one's good.
Yeah.
But his overall, see, still Kill Bill. He's said what he wants, but he's thought about it. I haven't thought about it. I want to edit this episode and come back.
We'll listen to this back, and all of a sudden it's like, Mark, what's your favourite film? Old Boy.
Yeah.
End.
A new listener, Robert James Hayes, at Robert J. Hayes. Kill Bill. Yeah, it is a great film.
Yeah, I do like the first one.
North of the 50th at Ed Montenu. Underworld. No.
Underworld.
Yeah.
I want a giraffe. I love to see Kate Beckinsale in tight leather as much as anyone, but that is a terrible film.
Last one, and like I said, I want to bring some old names back. John Brooks. He wants to say Return of the King as Lord of the Rings, but he counts that as more than one film. He thinks they're all like, you know.
All wank.
So instead, and I thought you might have picked this, Elf.
That is a great
film. What a great film, and one of the best Christmas films ever.
Starring Peter Dinklage and Will Ferrell, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, next time it's 2002.
Yeah.
And trust me, I've looked at this, it's a tough year.
Yeah. Everybody's going to the party, have a real good time. Dancing in the desert, blowing up the sunshine.
Guys, as it's the anniversary episode, still can't believe it's been a year. on the very first episode, which is available. Go and listen to it. You know, so it's there. It's like the first start of the beautiful skip to the end. We picked our top five movies of all time.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't realize that this podcast was going to go on for more than a year. We probably just threw five films that came out and thought, yeah, this is probably the ones we love.
And we also didn't think anyone was going to listen to it.
Nope.
Honestly, we didn't.
No.
Let's listen back, right? Adam, you chose Shaun of the Dead, The Green Mile, The Departed, The Dark Knight, and The Graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, you chose Anchorman, Goodfellas, Pulp Fiction, wow, Battle Royale, and The Empire Strikes Back. And I picked Gremlins, Jurassic Park, Almost Famous, Aliens, and The Thing.
That's weird that I picked The Dark Knight.
I know.
I didn't know you liked that. No. It's weird, isn't it?
We've seen a lot of films, mm-hmm. probably 26 this year for the podcast, and a lot of ourselves. We've done a lot of homework. Remember that back in the day?
Yeah.
Yep.
Has there been any films that have come in that have replaced this? Let's revisit it.
Yeah.
Ben, do you want to go first? Have you taken any out there that was cement and you thought, do you know what?
I have. There's one change to my list. When I formulated the list, I wanted to try and give a broad breadth of different types of films, so I shoehorned a comedy in there. I put Anchorman in to my top five. I love Anchorman. For me, it is the funniest comedy film of all time, but it isn't really truly in my top five. I just shoehorned it in. So now, give my real list, I'll take that out. The film that I dropped for Anchorman, it was ludicrous how I could have dropped it, because you guys know. It's Blade Runner.
Yeah.
You know Blade Runner is my favourite film of all time. Yeah. Fuck the top five. It's the top one by a distance.
The interesting
thing how the hell I took that out, I don't know.
It's bad.
The interesting thing about this is, I think about four episodes in, Ben turned around to me and went, how is Blade Runner not in my top five?
Yeah.
We were in talks to George Lucas it and go back and remaster the episode with new voiceovers because... Yeah. It was criminal. I still can't believe that that happened.
No, it's mental. But now we've revisited it, you know, the truth is there now. It's Blade Runner. Anchorman's out. Still love it. It's knocking on the door of the five. But
not
Blade Runner. I'll tell you what also is knocking on the door of the five. Didn't quite get in. And Mark, you're representing it because you're wearing a Jaws t-shirt right now, kid.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that film until 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It was homework. Blew my mind. You know how much I loved it. Since then, I've watched it three or four times at home. Went to see it at the cinema for the anniversary release.
That was sexy.
It's marvellous.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, it's marvellous. And I think it's only because it's only 6 months old to me that it's not quite in my five. Ask me again this time next year, it'll probably be in my five.
Well, we will do that in a year's time.
Yeah.
If we're still here and not sued. Adam, did you make any major changes? I bet he's put Danny Dio. I bet you he's put Batman Returns in there.
Yeah.
Twins.
I made two. I took The Green Mile out.
Shame.
Because it's a film that I used to think how much I loved it because I'd watch it quite often. Uh-huh. But I mean, I don't think I've watched it for 3 years now.
Mm.
And I've taken Shaun of the Dead out.
Whoa.
Again, I've not watched it for about 3-4 years. So in the place of those two, I've put two films that I didn't really realise how much I loved until we started talking about film regularly.
Yeah.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Nice.
Excellent.
There Will Be Blood.
Wow.
Excellent again, yeah.
So they're the two that go in. And I just think, because of Daniel Day-Lewis and how much I've spoken about him at length mm-hmm. before, it was crazy not to have one of his films in there. And this is arguably his finest performance for me. I loved him as The Butcher. I loved him as Christy Brown and things like that. Mm-hmm. But this was just a cut above everything else.
And I think that's a great way to look at it when you're making this sort of list. It's all well and good saying, yeah, this is my favourite film. I love it. But if you've not watched it in 3 years, then is it really your favourite film? So you're talking about films that you watch regularly.
Oh, yeah,
they are your favourite films then, if you're making the effort to watch them a lot. So yeah, I get that. Yeah,
I've made two changes as well.
The Room.
And you'll be pleased to know The Room and Mac and Me have not made. They are knocking. Mac is knocking.
Yeah, they're 6 and 7.
He's knocking off in his bedroom. But I've took out Gremlins.
Whoa.
It's a great 80s film that I really love, but it isn't, like, I've just got to be real.
I reckon he's replaced it with another 80s film.
What do you reckon?
What do you reckon?
You never know. After going to Secret Cinema and revisiting this film, Back to the Future, the original.
I'm surprised that wasn't in your list.
I know. Yeah. I just felt like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. I didn't give it enough thought.
It's clearly good that we're revisiting this.
Yeah. Gremlins is stunning. It's in my top 10. It's absolutely superb. But Back to the Future, I don't know. How did I leave that out?
Then I did.
You're talking to Blade Runner over there.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck.
The second one I removed is Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Which is pretty crazy.
Is that because Jurassic World has soured your view of it?
I don't know. I just think it's a great film, but I remembered how much the kid annoyed me.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back and watched it and it pissed me off. And when I was a kid, I probably wanted to be the kid that could go to Jurassic Park. Now I just want to go to Jurassic Park and stab him. Like,
brutal.
It annoyed me. He is dreadful. And Jurassic World Yeah, it annoyed me a bit.
I thought you were about to say, and I've replaced it with Jurassic World.
Yeah, and I've replaced it with Jaws.
Yeah. Excellent.
You know, we went to the cinema. I can't argue. I'm sitting in a t-shirt, but no, that's for me like Blade Runner. I think it's between The Thing and Jaws is my favourite film ever made. Mm-hmm. Going back to the cinema, it's just like, what was I doing, you stupid idiot? Like, how can you leave that film?
Well, like Ben said to us 3 months after we started doing this or whatever, Blade Runner is my favourite film of all time.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's not.
I think Jaws is mine. I honestly do now.
Wow. Ben understands that completely.
Big time. I get it.
So come back in 12 months. Still listen to us as well for the next year.
Yeah, don't wait.
Well, it's not going to be a yearly event from now on. So the rewatch. I said it last week. This is my second attempt at introducing something.
It's going well.
The Last Airbender by M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night.
Shyamalan.
So this is a story that was based on a cartoon by Nickelodeon of a world where there are four major elements that people can control. So there's water, earth, fire, and air. One person is born with the ability to control all four of them. He's called the Avatar. And it's in a cyclical cycle. They're born into each different nation, water, fire, earth, wind. We then discover that the Avatar was born to the Air Tribe. The Air Tribe wiped out by the Fire Nation. And he actually ran off and was imprisoned in ice in one of the Water Kingdoms for a long time. Mm-hmm. This is the premise of the animated series. This is the premise of the film. So, thoughts, Ben?
Wank. Moving on.
Mark?
I'm glad that you just said what went on, because your summary told me more than what actually happened in the film. I lost interest. I couldn't be arsed. So I'm glad now I know what happened. Cheers for that.
It's all right.
Film, utter wank.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's bollocks.
Elaborate
bollocks.
A bit more then.
I'm not willing to. It's terrible. Fucking hell. What? I was so bored. Like, I was bored. I was watching the film and my mind just kept drifting every 2 minutes because I couldn't focus on it because nothing kept my interest in any way. It's tedious.
It's strange because there are varying levels of bad in the film, the film world. I mean, you look at something like Troll 2. That is bad.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's bad on a low budget. It's tacky.
Yeah.
This, it wasn't taking itself seriously.
It is what it is. Yeah.
This is a multi-million pound venture.
Yep.
And it's this bad.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get it? Especially when you've already got the text there. The animated series is there. It's built for you.
Yeah.
How do you get it wrong?
An incredibly popular, successful animated series.
Very good series.
Well, people love Avatar. It's a great, great show. I must admit, I've never seen it, but by all accounts, it's a great, great show.
It is. It's very good.
So how do you shit the bed on the film this badly?
By casting an all-white cast.
This is it. Now, you know, this was the crux of it, was the racial element. As you say, there are four tribes. Air, wind, fire, water,
earth, wind and fire.
Spunk, grass, toast. I don't know. There's loads of them.
Some of them formed a band and became Earth, Wind and Fire.
they were pretty good. If it would have been a film about them, I'd have enjoyed it more.
That could be next.
But in the show, in the cartoon, all of the characters are clearly sort of East Asian.
Yeah.
You know, they're all of sort of Chinese, Japanese, or Mongolian, or Inuit, or whatever it might be. They have that sort of look to them. In the film, they've made all the characters white. Except for the bad guys. So of the four nations, the Fire Nation, the bad guys, are all South Asian. They all look either, you know, Indian or Middle Eastern. The Water Nation, who are great and everyone loves them, they're the heroes, white. Like Casper the Friendly Ghost, a lot of them. Is it the Earth ones, the ones who are dressed in green? They're like the servants. They're very servile people. They're the East Asians. So we'll get the little Chinese fellas to serve us drinks and whatnot. They can do that. And then the other nation are all dead.
Yeah.
So we don't know what colour they are. I assume if they're dead, probably black.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just an intensely
And they're all killed by a white police officer. Yes, definitely.
It's horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
And just, I don't know why more people didn't pick up on this.
Yeah.
Because it's disgusting.
And M. Night Shyamalan is, you know, he's an Asian chap. You would thought that he would have more sense than that.
Yeah. You'd think
but
so.
I thought he'd have a sixth sense.
But then. But obviously, we know from Aang, who's the avatar of the Wind Nation, that he's white. He's a white little kid.
Uh huh.
So presumably, the Air Nation is white as well.
Yeah.
The other good guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's horrendous.
It really is.
What's the guy called that's in Slumdog Millionaire and all
this? Dev Patel.
Yeah.
I hate him.
I hate him.
Like, we hate him. If you go back and listen to our Chappie episode, you hear me rant as I did about the fat guy earlier.
Yeah.
But he is annoying and he can't act. And they gave him one film, Slumdog, he did all right. And they just put him into completely different roles.
Yeah.
What's he doing in this film?
Terrible.
He's horrific.
And it was even worse because they made him do an American accent as
well.
You
put a 5-year-old little kid who's got a bald head around him, he's acting better than this guy who's been in big blockbusters.
I actually quite liked the little bald fella who played Aang. I thought he was okay.
Was it Warwick Davis?
It was not.
No, it was not Warwick Davis, no.
Not all children... Oh, Warwick, you realise this. Not all children, dwarves or teddy bears are Warwick Davis.
In my film, it will be. A World of Warwick.
So, I'd like to say moving on to slightly less offensive topics, but the Last Airbender is wholly offensive.
Chronically offensive and chronically dull. It's just so
Was this about halfway
boring.
In his career for the director? Because we've already talked about The Village.
This was tail end. This is not that long ago.
He's not learning, is he?
No.
He's done one good film, potentially?
Two.
I like Unbreakable.
Sixth Sense is great. Unbreakable is even better.
Signs has a couple of moments where he's made Mel Gibson not look too mental.
Water-soluble aliens. Water-soluble aliens. I say it for a third time. Water-soluble aliens.
Yeah.
Get fucked.
So this was a... What do you think of the CGI?
That was all right at times.
It was hit and miss. Like the big, what was it, a big flying bison or something? Yeah. He looked kind of cool, but other things looked kind of shoddy. I thought the water was pretty good.
When they were moving it.
Whereas the fire looked Fantastic Four style, which is to say, not very good.
No.
The Earth?
It's all right, isn't it?
It looked just all right. It looked all right.
Yeah.
It's a chronically bad film.
It is, Adam,
And we keep doing this to ourselves.
Yeah.
Look back at the films we've been reviewing recently. I remember when we started and we're like, right, we're going to do Blade Runner. We're going to do, what do we all give? Was it 9 or 10? Predator. It was really good. And we took to this new thing now of picking shit.
It's because we're all punishing each other.
Yeah. But I'm loving it. I'm loving The Room. I'm loving Mac and Me. You know, this is great. But
I thought he was saying it was bad. And now he says, I'm loving it.
But now it's gone to a new level of low. Like The Wicker Man last week was painful.
You chose it.
I know. To get back at one of you guys, what did one of you pick?
Joel 2?
No, I picked... Yes, it was for getting you back at that. But this is not even funny bad. It was, like you said, I was bored. I was really getting annoyed. And I kept pausing it to see how long I had left to watch.
Yeah.
And it was like, what? Another fucking hour on
this?
I did the exact same thing. I brought up the little thing on the screen to see how long was left. Like,
an hour.
For Christ's sake.
Wound me up. And I didn't want to, like, you know, skip right to the back and think... I couldn't say skip to the end, but I couldn't. Because... I couldn't blag it.
No.
And it was shit.
It was shit. And the little ball fellow who played Aang was fine.
What's he done recently?
Nothing. But the other...
Well, he was cast based on the fact that he knew Kung Fu.
Exactly right. Yeah, he was a martial artist and he's very good at that.
Oh, the rest... he can do Kung Fu, he can go into Karate Kid.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Different martial arts.
Yeah, that's the whole point, wasn't
it? That's why that remake was incredibly racist.
Another racist film. Yeah. I love it. Top 3 racism films.
Should we do that next week? The other youngsters in it were shit.
Yeah.
Terrible. And the funny thing, I read something on the internet. The main girl in it, the young girl.
Oh, yeah.
Shyamalan said that, I can't remember her name because I didn't bother to look it up because I don't care enough, but he said that she was the first actor that he's met since, who's the fat fella that looks like he ate him? He's the first actor he's cast since Osment that he couldn't have done the film without. You know, if the studio wouldn't have given Osment that part, he wouldn't have done the film. And he said the same thing about this girl, which obviously when you watch the film can't possibly be true because she's fucking terrible. It turns out she's actually the daughter of a billionaire.
Ugh.
And the word going around is, and this is completely alleged, you know, lawyers, if you're listening, you know, I'm not saying
the
this.
Word
I've just,
going
I've just
is,
read
we don't know this, is
this exactly, that he cast her basically because this billionaire wanted it. That's it. So he made up this bullshit about how, you know, I wouldn't have done the film without her. He wouldn't have done the film without the fucking Bunts.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Honestly, can we just wrap this up? Because I don't have anything to say. I've not brought notes on this film. I've just nothing to say.
Do you know what? Right, on my iPad.
It's not my fault you're unprepared, Mark.
Every time we come to this, I always bring my iPad with my notes on, right? These were my entire notes. Water, good guys, white. Fire, bad guys, Middle Eastern. Earth, Asians, servants.
Done.
They're my whole notes for this film.
So bad.
Garbage.
It's so
fucking
bad.
Garbage.
Ratings.
Ugh, shouldn't have to.
I hope this becomes lower than Troll 2. Well, I really do. I'm thinking it could be.
Get Pixel 6.
Well deserved.
I'm going to give this one. Mm-hmm. Just for the fact it got made and it must have took some time and the little ball fella.
Yeah. I too will give it one because I liked the main bad guy, Zhao or whatever his name was. Because he's played by Asif Manvi, who's a comedian by trade. He was one of the correspondents on The Daily Show. So seeing him do a dramatic piece, and I actually thought he was rather good.
He was very good.
So I'll give it one for Asif Manvi.
Yeah, I'm going to give it one. Just for similar reasons, really. I thought the kid was quite good. Mm-hmm. I thought Asif Manvi was very good. Mm-hmm. But generally, it's just a very poor film. And at the end of the day, you've got the material there for you.
Yeah.
How have you got this wrong?
Exactly. What's the average of three ones?
One. Wow.
And
it's beat... did we get anything that was a zero?
We gave something an entire duck egg, didn't we, last time?
Was it The Wicker Man?
Yeah.
I don't think... I think I gave it a one.
You gave it a one. Oh. I gave it zero, so it was an average of zero.
I think this is better than The Wicker Man.
It is.
Yeah.
A touch.
Just
a touch. Just.
But the interesting thing, for if you haven't seen Avatar The Last Airbender, the TV series from Nickelodeon, it's kind of aimed for children. I watched it growing up. It's kind of aimed for children, but it is a very good series. It is very cool. So much better than this film.
Yeah.
Only a few people joined us this time on social media
to watch it. Yeah.
Let's pick something good soon so that we get a few more on board.
Oh, well, it's my rewatch now.
Yeah.
I'll tell you in a minute.
I'll tell you what people said. So Pasico, which is at Pasico, said, I'd rather knock myself out.
Yep.
So he's refused to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Raymond, watching the film could knock you out.
Yeah. Raymond.ca, which is at MiniArm0. I've never been more disappointed in any other film I've ever seen. Probably because he loved the animation.
Yeah, probably. Maybe.
Jason Ui, which is at Jason of Ui, you're asking too much of us. No,
yeah,
fair play.
He's right. He's right. We're asking too much of him.
Alexander Davison, which is at Alexander Davison 91. I actually enjoyed it and would have welcomed a sequel, but only thing they didn't get Aang's playful nature too serious. So he enjoyed it. Fair play. Yeah. Probably didn't watch the right thing.
You probably watched the animated TV series.
Yeah. Dave J Dixon, what gets me is the. What gets me isn't that it's a terrible adaptation of the favourite show, it's badly made. The camera work, the pace, the dialogue, there's tons of uber-tight close-ups that are so off-centre that it can't be possible a artistic choice.
Yeah, no, he's
right.
He's
got a good point. Yeah, I forgot about that.
It is just poorly constructed, yeah.
This is crazy. Lady Victor Vigorious has said it's a good film, interesting and very original to watch.
Wrong.
Not the original.
Sharon at...
Based on an existing cartoon.
Sharon at Sharon_SHH. The cartoon version was way better.
Yeah.
A lot better.
And finally, James, which is at James ASM. No. Watching it once produced spasms of pain in my eyes. Watching it twice will cause me to break the law. I admire the sacrifice you're prepared to do on our behalf. No.
Fair enough, yeah.
Come on then, Ben. Let's have a good film,
well,
please.
This is it. Well, you know, you've said this about how we've gone down this rabbit hole of garbage recently, and we need to come up. We need to surface for air.
Thank you.
You'll know I'm a huge sci-fi nerd. I love my Star Wars. I obviously love Blade Runner. So what I wanted to do is I wanted for us to watch one of those sort of iconic sci-fi films, one of those that changed the game, that modern sci-fi wouldn't exist without it. So next time we're going to rewatch Battlefield Earth.
For fuck's sake. Fucking hell. This is a very special occasion. Mm-hmm. A year of Skip to the End. Let's celebrate by giving away a bundle. And I'm not talking a shitty bundle. I'm talking the biggest prize giveaway we've ever done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. We have got lots of t-shirts.
Cool.
Robot Overlords, Fast and Furious 7, Jurassic World, The Gallows, Trainwreck. We're going to stick them all together for one lucky winner.
Can we chuck a Skip to the End t-shirt in there as well?
Well, this week I've had made a Skip to the End. You know the Mac and Me design?
Yep.
Which is the best design we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
That's been printed on a one-off t-shirt.
Yeah.
I'm not going to keep it. We're going to give this to the winner. So you get that as well as all those other fantastic film t-shirts.
Yep.
One person's going to win the lot. We're not going to split this one each.
Cool.
Fair play to this winner. If we ever make it to millionaires, This is the first and one only. What should we ask as a question?
How about this?
Go for it.
What film did we review? What was our main review on our first episode?
Nice. That's good. That means you've got to be a fan.
Yeah. Or have the ability to look at the internet.
Yeah, on Podomatic or iTunes.
Quick, let's take it all down now.
Yeah. A little help as well. The episode title is that film.
Yeah.
Let us know on Twitter at STT Podcast. You can let us know on Facebook / Skip
the
End Podcast.
All of our seem to be these ones where it's like, what is the capital of France? Is it Paris? Yeah. Steak or beer?
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of people that enter this,
yeah.
And only one is going to get chosen.
Uh-huh.
Let us know, and we will announce the winner on the next episode of Phase 2.
And the first episode of Phase 2 is actually going to be in 3 weeks.
Do you want to say why?
Well.
It's pretty good.
Well, I'm off to the States next week, taking a few meetings.
This is true.
Meeting a few people.
Is Del Toro going to be there?
Derek Del Toro is going to be knocking around, yeah. I'm taking a few meetings, you know, trying to get a few things off the ground with regards to maybe a bit of Mac and Me too, maybe a bit of Room too. I don't want to say too much.
This is really happening.
I don't want
happening.
To say too much. But because I'm going to be in the States for a while, we're going to have to put our next episode back a bit. So episode 28 will be with you in 3 weeks.
But it's worth the wait because you're going to get Mac and Me too, hopefully.
Big time.
We've toyed with doing it over Skype, but we don't want to give poor quality to you guys.
This is it. Yeah, precisely.
So...
And will you let us have some photos while you're there of updates of how you're getting on? If you might meet Paul Rudd and stuff, see how you get on.
I'm not going to make any promises because you know you got to go through publicists and all that kind of shit. So.
Yeah, but we'll deliver the goods in 3 weeks.
I really hope you get to meet Paul Rudd.
That would be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting him. Yeah.
So in 3 weeks, we're going to announce the winner. And fair play if you win this. This is a prize that is you'll never help to get it done again. Shame.
Game show time.
Mm-hmm.
The rating game.
Yeah.
So I've decided to take a backseat and be quizmaster this week because I'm unbeaten. I've actually got...
You're the champ.
Right. I believe it's sort of 12 out of 12 at the minute.
Yeah, mate, you're the champ.
Doing really well at this.
Yeah, so it is the wooden spoon race now.
He's the people's champ.
So, I'm thinking, who do you want to go first? Who should we make go first?
I want to go first. Throw it to me.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's the cum drum.
Right,
Mark
right.
Called it.
Yeah.
So... Your first one.
Hang on, what are we going to be? Are we going to be the, you know, is there a little, are you going to slogan?
Oh, yeah.
It's time to find out. Oh, yeah.
Let me think. So which film is going to be Shawshank and which film is going to be Pure Wank?
Oh. Nice. I liking that.
So is this film you pick out, Ben, higher or lower than Pan's Labyrinth at 125?
Right.
I'm actually quite pleased.
I've started bang in the middle.
One of my favourite films of all time. I've got No Country for Old Men.
Okay, so is that higher than 125 or lower?
Higher.
It's lower, I'm afraid.
Fuck my life.
It is lower than Pan's Labyrinth at 164.
I love Pan's Labyrinth, so I'm not going
to
diss that.
I'm just glad to see that that's in the top 250.
Yeah, yeah,
fair
yeah.
play.
Phenomenal film.
Right, here we go.
So you've got 164, higher or lower?
Star Wars A New Hope.
Is that higher or lower?
Definitely, definitely, definitely higher.
It is higher. It's 19.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unlucky, Ben. He's going to be having a spoon tonight. Especially if he goes on drinking.
I'm not letting you spoon, mate. Not again.
Not 2 days in a row. Last night was special, though.
Oh, shit. Do you know what I was thinking? Because that last one was 19, wasn't it? And
yeah.
I was thinking, whatever I get is clearly going to be lower. I've got Jurassic Park.
Oh. And remember, Mark from Skip to End has just taken that out. So as well, people are going to not watch it anymore.
So is that higher or lower than Star Wars A New Hope
shit.
At 19?
Tough.
I think it's going to be fractionally lower.
It's considerably lower.
Is it?
Oh. It's 203.
What? Yowza.
That's
how
insane.
Ridiculous is that?
That is mental.
It's not actually mental. That wouldn't work. That is crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the whole point of this game. The whole point of this game is to find out where things rank and realise how shit IMDb is.
How terrible. Well, it's not IMDb.
It's people's
rating.
It's
the divs who rate on IMDb.
It's a pure wank at the moment. Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
So is that higher or lower than Jurassic Park at 203?
Higher.
It is higher. That's 35.
That's good.
35.
Is that the first Indiana Jones?
Yes, I believe so.
Rubbish.
I'm hoping that Crystal Skull isn't anywhere in the top 250.
Of course it isn't.
No. Unless it's in the top 10 worst films of all time with a plastic head that someone made at a school. A special school.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
So is that higher or lower than Raiders?
And what number was Raiders?
35.
Lower, even though it's infinitely better, it's got to be lower.
It's considerably lower.
Yeah.
210.
Yeah.
Bear in mind that last week, Inside Out was around 50.
Shame.
Guardians is 210.
Yeah.
That film had feelings, Ben.
Thanks.
Right, here we go. This is getting tense. Oh, wow. Leon.
Leon, great the film. Professional.
Uh-huh.
No, just Leon, the uncut one.
is that higher or lower than Guardians of the Galaxy at 210?
Higher.
It is higher. It's 27.
27? Really? That's good. High. That I is like people again. To me. Yeah. Good. That's good.
I never would have thought that was that high.
No.
It does restore your faith a bit in the list.
Did you just say how high?
That's got to be
that's how high. I imagine it's top 10 at least. That's a classic.
Shawshank's been knocked down.
Well, this is, serendipity. I've got Old Boy.
Oh.
So Old Boy, is that higher or lower than Leon at 27?
Lower.
It is lower. It's 69.
Yeah. Well, that restores my faith in humanity that it's that high.
Oh, man. A very recent film, Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm.
Oh, man.
Tremendous.
So what higher was the last one?
Lower than Old Boy at 69.
Higher.
It's not higher.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Lower at 87.
You mugged yourself off
there.
Yeah,
but people are still loving it at the moment. Coming out of cinema again.
87, Mad Max.
Wasn't that much lower?
Yeah,
higher than
true.
Jurassic Park.
Shame.
Probably lower than Interstellar.
Yep.
Which is gash.
It's so bad.
The Graduate, one of your favourite films, Adam.
The Graduate.
And an excellent film all round.
Is it higher or lower than Mad Max at 87?
Lower.
It is lower. Mm-hmm. It's actually 250.
Wow. Really?
On the list.
Right at the bottom.
Oh, that's good,
so
Ben.
Mark,
so I'm going to win.
No, you're not going to win.
It's equal.
It's going to be a tiebreak if you get this.
Well, I could get this wrong. You never know. Right then, so what is it? It is Whiplash.
What do you think, Mark? Higher or lower than the last possible number?
It's quite new, so probably higher.
It's low.
It's not even in the list. Over. It was a twist ending. It was a Shyamalan-style twist ending.
No, it's higher. It's 40. 40 in the list. So
is that high Whiplash?
It is.
Deserved, man. Deserved. Unreal
so,
film.
The tiebreaker question. We've actually reached a point in which we need to use the tiebreaker instead of just
good.
Using it anyway.
Yeah.
So the tiebreaker.
Yep.
Is Internal Affairs.
Oh.
Right.
The Korean film.
Yeah. On which The Departed was based.
The Departed based,
Oh, man. Do you want to go first?
So we've got to pick a number, haven't we?
Yeah. I don't want to win the wooden spoon. I really don't.
Nobody wins a wooden spoon.
No. I don't want you to feed me the spoon.
You're just stuck with it. 195.
156.
156. Ben, you are closest. It's 206 on the list.
Boom. Suck on my spoon.
Oh, no.
So Mark is the overall loser of the rating game. And we're actually changing up the game now.
Well, I think because Mark is a loser, not just a loser, he gets to pick the next quiz. We're going to do a different quiz next time, aren't we?
Do you want to know about it now or no?
Tell us now, man.
Right, I've been thinking about this, and it isn't anything stupid like the stuff I said about, you know, Crypt like to the Mend or anything like that. It's genuine.
Yeah.
So I've been watching a lot of challenge TV, you know, Bullseye, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's a show on there that I really like called Family Fortunes.
Oh, classic.
Okay, yeah.
Both, what you know, Les Dennis,
yeah.
Crime TV. Yeah. And what they do is they go out there and they find 100 people and they survey them and then they put the answers on the screen. You've all probably seen it and they've got to try and guess the top answer, etc.
My family were actually on it once in the early 90s.
Are you actually serious?
Deadly serious.
You need to get that. Anyway, yeah, we'll come back to that. But were you on it?
No.
Oh. Were you in the crowd?
No.
Oh, anyway. But anyway, we're going to do a show based on this. So what I'm thinking of, you probably all get magazines, you know, Empire, Total Film. They always do these like top 10 chick flicks and all this. So instead of us actually going and spending time speaking to 100 people to get these results, we're going to pick one of those topics. So, for example, top 10 romantic comedies. Yeah.
Okay.
That will be the topic of the first one.
Yeah.
And you'll take it in turns to guess. And we're basically going to do it until all 10 are on there.
Right.
If you're really struggling and one of you isn't getting the answer, I will give you clues. But it's who can get the most on the screen
of
there
the top
we go,
10.
Of the top 10.
Cool.
Because we can't call it that and we get sued, I've come up with a name.
Oh, God.
And I think you'll both actually respect this because it's actually quite good.
Okay.
Fan Movie Fortunes. What do you think?
Awful.
I love it.
I like that. So on the next episode,
yeah,
you know, it's worth the 3-week wait. You're going to get Fan Movie Fortunes. Okay. You two are going to be playing against each other.
Yeah.
And we're doing the top 10 chick flicks. Mm-hmm. And we'll
is it chick flicks or romantic comedies?
Romantic comedies.
Okay. Chick flicks is a bit sexist.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I can't say chick flicks.
So, lady
feminist
flicks.
At you.
Yeah, so I will bring that with... No doing any research or anything. Yeah. It could be subject to change.
And for our American listeners, in America, Family Fortunes is called Family Feud. So this game for our American listeners is Fan Movie Feud.
Yeah. And I want to start seeing hashtags of Fan Movie Fortunes.
Hashtag Fan Movie Fortunes.
Yeah.
Just to wrap up the segment, I am the undisputed champion of the racing game.
We'll see. Well, yeah, that's true. You are. Yep. But the new game is coming. So we'll see.
It's Fan Movie Feud.
So as we said earlier, on our very first episode, we reviewed Sharknado 2. 1 year on, Sharknado 3 is upon us. So we thought it was fitting that we did a mini review. We're not going to talk too long about this, because what's to talk about, really? Chaps, Mark, you go. Thoughts?
Great fun.
Yeah, well,
great
yeah.
fun.
I thought you were going to say great film, and then I was going to leave. But
not
great
a masterpiece.
Fun is fine.
Great
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
Enjoyable.
Uh-huh.
What it says on the tin.
Well, this is it.
Exactly.
You know what you're getting. Adam, thoughts?
Go, 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 go.
Go, Sharknado.
No, yeah. it's good. It knows what it is. It knows it's not an Oscar-nominated picture. It knows it's not a big-budget comic book hero film or anything like that. It knows what it is. It plays up to the fact that it's a bad film. It's good fun.
Do you know who I've got a lot of respect for, actually, is Ian Ziering, who plays the main character.
Yeah.
Most of the acting in that film is atrocious, really bad, in all three of them. But he's not. He's actually quite good, because he strafes that line quite well between, you know, trying his best and doing good work and also having his tongue firmly in his cheek.
Yeah.
He nails the tone.
Yeah.
And I look at him and I think, you could do better. You know, someone could cast you. Someone gave you a chance. If Tarantino went, I like that Ian Ziering fella, and put him in The Hateful Eight or something, I think he'd nail it, because I think he's genuinely got talent.
He looks like he's got a good actor.
Yeah, whereas everyone else in that film is fucking garbage and useless. Tara Reid, for Christ's sake.
It's really weird you said that, because at the start of this film, there's a bit of a homage to James Bond, and he comes on and the music starts, and he's got the white, you know, frame around him. He's in a suit, and I think he's got the chainsaw.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, he would be good to replace Daniel Craig. Can you not imagine him being Bond?
It's a bit of a stretch.
Can you not? Can you
yeah, you know, from Sharknado to Bond.
Yeah, cast a nobody and let him have a chance.
The legendary British spy we're going to replace with the American fella from Sharknado 3.
But of course, he's not got a gun anymore. He's got a chainsaw.
Yeah, I like that.
He can wield a chainsaw, that kid.
He can. Jesus a laser Christ. Chainsaw.
This is it. In the final scene of the film, spoiler alert, in the final scene of the film, for some reason, they're in space, right? So they're fighting sharks in space, and he's got what can only be described as a hybrid chainsaw lightsaber. And it's a phenomenal
They build
bit
them
of kit.
All. I think they're all on the space station now.
Oh, big time. Yeah, they have to have them because of shark attacks. The thing that made me laugh so much about that is Tara Reid's character says, "How can they survive in space?" To which his character says, "How can they survive in a tornado?" Fair enough, fair enough. That is all the plot holes filled in one fell swoop.
So, really? You're questioning that?
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, considering the budget on these films is not a lot, they get a lot of viewers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sci-Fi Channel get a lot of people tune in and want this.
Yeah.
I will say this now, and you'll both be like, "Oh, Mark, you're just being this stupid making comments." But I think the space stuff was done very well.
Considering
it was done really low cost. And I would actually say, at times, it looked better than Interstellar.
I disagree entirely. You're wrong.
I can't say it straight, but
all jokes
the
aside,
space stuff looked good.
All jokes aside,
yeah.
It was better than Fantastic Four. I think that shit that happened with sharks in space should have been the third act of Fantastic Four.
That's why Josh has left, because they didn't show the shark.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe, obviously, Sci-Fi aired this about, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Maybe they were in the editing room getting ready for Fantastic Four, saw the end of that. They've taken our idea.
The fuckers, they beat us to it.
We've got to cut it out.
But it genuinely looked good, and they really sometimes look like cardboard cutouts, and the CGI is laughable.
Yeah.
In that scene, I thought, fair play, they've actually done well here. Because it's straight to TV.
It was you knew it was TV-level CGI, but it was never bad. It was never awful. It was like, yeah, I get it, that's fine.
It was fine.
Yeah.
As a film, it was fine. It was fun. I watched it. Yeah. I enjoyed parts of it. There's a lot of celebrities in it.
I was going to say, what do you think about Chris Jericho being in it?
Oh, Y2J.
Yeah. He's a good person at controlling a roller coaster.
Yeah.
He should have been at Alton Towers. That would have never happened then.
I love the bit of like, my tracking device says that she's here. Are you looking for this?
And pulls her phone out. Yeah. The one that annoyed me a little bit, there were a million celebrity cameos, and this will probably mean less to you guys than it does to me, because you're not as boring as I am and don't care so much about American politics. But the guy who was the NASA sort of controller is a chap called Anthony Weiner, who was a congressman.
Yeah.
And he was a congressman in New York for like 7 terms, highly popular. People thought of him as he was going to be the first Jewish president. You know, people had a lot of thought behind him. And then he got caught sending pictures of his knob to women. So he had this big sex scandal, ruined his political career.
And now he's in
Sharknado 3. And, you know, this is a guy who people genuinely thought was going to be president. And he's in fucking Sharknado.
Bill Clinton, if you're listening, get in Sharknado 4.
In all fairness, there's not many people who could become president now. Paul Blart's president.
He's got it locked up. There's a rule, obviously, in American politics where you can only serve 2 terms, but I'm pretty sure Paul Blart, more part, because of overwhelming demand, he's there for life.
Especially after saving us from the alien invaders that look like arcade games.
Big time.
Also, it was nice to see Malcolm in the Middle back on screen.
Oh, yeah, Frankie.
It was nice to see him.
Who would have thought this, right? So Malcolm in the Middle, 10 years ago, you watch that show and you think, oh, Frankie Muniz, he's great. He's going to have a great career. And his dad, who's that fella? I don't know. Turns out his dad is Bryan Cranston, who's one of the greatest actors of all time, and Frankie Muniz is in Sharknado 3.
I was reading about Frankie Muniz the other day, and apparently he's basically just retired. He doesn't want to act anymore. He owns like a race, I think NASCAR team or something like that.
Yeah.
He owns loads of different property. He just invested his money. He didn't go off the rails. He invested his money and now he's rich and he doesn't want to work anymore.
This is it. The assumption is if someone is famous young and then they disappear, the assumption is they couldn't get any work. But it might very well be that he's just like, I've got millions.
Yeah.
So I can just go and sun myself on holidays and not have to work.
Apparently that's it. Apparently he doesn't want to work anymore. So he's rich. He's got all this money, all these houses.
Yeah. And to be fair, if you're living that life where you don't need to work and someone says, do you want to be in Sharknado? It's a bit of fun. You go, yeah, fuck it. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Adam, just picking up there, you're saying he didn't want to go off the rails. Talking about the roller coaster when it went off the rails, I just want to say this bit was really good. You know when Chris Jericho was trying to like, go, run, run?
Yeah.
The shark was going on the loop-to-loop and literally catching up to him and trying to bite him.
Yeah.
Did you actually see when it caught him?
Yeah.
And the carriage with the guy in, it went all the way around the loop-to-loop, flung off the track,
yeah.
And he just literally stood up and was like, oh, just brush this off me. I'm all right. And then they thought he was part of the ghost show because he was on the rides. Remember this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What a masterpiece.
My favourite bit was when the guy went to take his photo with the shark that was hanging up.
Oh, yeah.
And it came to life and ate him.
And do you know who that guy was? It was Jerry Springer.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was just the fact the shark that had been hanging there all that time.
Yeah.
Wasn't alive, but now all of a sudden, did the tornado bring it back to life?
I love it how one of the weathermen, when they were talking about how all these sharknados that were across the eastern seaboard were going to come together, and he said, it's going to be a sharkercane.
That's incredible.
That's the next one. Sharknado 4, sharkercane.
My favourite part of the whole film, it reminded me a little bit of Anakin, actually, when we saw Tara Reid's what had happened from the last film when her arm was bitten off.
Yeah, she did.
She had the stump.
Yeah.
And she looked good still, you know, she looks great for her age. They got the chainsaw that then could go onto the stump.
Yeah.
And that reminded me of kind of like Death Proof sort of Planet Terror sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought that was genius.
The bit where, like, she's preggers and she gets eaten by a shark.
Oh, Christ.
She then cuts herself out of the shark with her attachment chainsaw on her stump.
It's a bit like Enter the Dragon.
But she gives birth to the kid in the shark and pushes the kid out first. So this shark, this kid, baby, comes out of this wound in the shark. And it's the most disturbing fucking thing I have ever seen. That will give me nightmares, that shark.
But it worked.
How did she give birth inside a shark?
There's medics in there.
The thing is, because when she came out of the shark, she was still wearing her clothes. So I don't know what, how if it came out of
it's
her
that
pant
easy.
Leg.
Yeah, just done.
Do they not know what happens during childbirth? I don't think she'd be able to walk afterwards.
No. And she was like perfectly slim as well.
Yeah.
With the end of the film, so we do give a lot of spoilers away, but this film, you know, you've got to see it to believe it. We get to choose what happens in part 4. April lives or April dies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You hashtag.
April is
Tara
Reid's
character.
There.
Yep. What would you guys vote for right
die,
now?
Die, die, die,
so we've
die.
Seen that she's come back to the Earth. They're all on the, you know, in America. And I think at the end, there's a...
It's a piece of the spaceship.
It's just about to go on and basically kill her. Are we going to see the chainsaw rise from her arm and protect her?
Yep.
Or are we going to see splat dead? You're saying you hashtag April dies?
Absolutely, I would.
Adam?
General rule is, if you get the chance to vote, you always kill them off.
Yeah. And also, I just cannot stand Tara Reid's face.
No.
I just, when I look at her, I just get furious.
She was really fit in American Pie, the first one. I always think, oh, she was well nice. I remember being 14 and thinking, yeah, she would get it. Now, I literally think she looks 114.
Yeah.
And she just looks awful.
It's not bad the way she looks.
Her no, when I'm saying she'd get it, I'm like, she would get it, as in the part for Shania Lena 4. But yeah, it's... I think they'll keep her. I think fans want to see more.
I think, because people watch these films as tongue-in-cheek, awful, terrible films, people will generally vote to keep her in, because she's a large part of that. So yeah, I think she'll survive.
Should we make a deal now? Let's not make the fans of the Skip to the End podcast wait 12 months. If they bring this film out in 8 months, whatever time they bring it out, we cover it.
It's coming out in July, I think, so it might be just before our second anniversary.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
If we haven't split up or been sued, let's do it.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
As long as one of us doesn't bring like a Yoko-type character in and ruin the dynamic.
I've got Tara with me here today. Well,
this is our phase two, isn't it? So our experimental phase. Let's rate this. Come on.
I will say today, on record, this is the best film I've seen out of the three we've discussed today.
Really?
The most enjoyable.
Okay.
Well Benga Pixels.
Last Airbender was dreadful.
Well, I laughed far more at this than I did Pixels, I'll admit.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. Because it was very... For some of it, it's just absurd. There's a bit where...
Aside from Paul Blart Mall Cop, Pixels had nothing good going for it.
Indeed.
But we've covered that.
There's a bit where Ian Ziering's character is in the White House and he's got two machine guns and he slides on the floor on his knees shooting these sharks and the slide lasts about 3 minutes.
Yep.
I was laughing my tits off at that. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'll give it 5.
That's all right. I'll give it a 6.
I'll give it a 5.
Overall a 5 then.
Good
That's
fun.
Good. Good work.
Is that better than Pixels overall? Did we give it a 4 overall, Pixels?
Yeah.
Overall, it's better than Pixels. Shame.
Listener questions times, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Some great questions come through. First of all, James Merchant has said, congratulations on your anniversary episode, and here's to many more.
Thanks, James.
That's not his question. My question for you is, what is your favourite film discovery since launching the podcast? But he has actually said it can be a new release or an undiscovered classic. Doesn't have to be one you've discussed on the show. But what is the film you've seen for the first time in 12 months that's meant the most to you?
I think you can probably guess what mine is. Look at your T-shirt.
Is it really Jaws?
Of course it's Jaws, man. How have I lived 32 years on this earth and haven't seen Jaws until 6 months ago? I don't know. But I saw it
was,
and it blew my mind.
I know.
Phenomenal. So it's that's my answer.
My biggest fear was that you were going to watch that and be like, yeah, it's all right.
I loved it because I tricked you when we talked about it on the show. I was like, you were like, oh, what do you think of Jaws? I went, well, it was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Tricked you in. Of course it was fucking amazing. Brilliant film. Genius.
It's really difficult, actually. Mm. Probably Goodfellas.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. You haven't seen that.
Yeah. Obviously, I had never seen that. And Ben, obviously, you said, watch it because it's amazing, and
did it
for the homework, and I was really impressed. I couldn't believe I'd never seen it, especially because I'm quite a big Scorsese fan as well.
I kind of miss the homework feature. Maybe we bring that in in phase two. Maybe we bring homework back.
You never know.
Yeah. Just for a bit.
Yeah. Or even if we don't do it every episode,
just now
when something
then.
Comes up, yeah, we'll do
like,
it.
I know what you'll do as well. You'll be like, right, we're doing homework this week. Mark, you're definitely watching Old Boy remake. I'll pick something shit for you.
The whole point of the homework section was to recommend something good anyway.
Yeah, to broaden your horizons of shit that you should have seen and hadn't.
Yeah, not to say, Mark, you need to watch the Old remake because it's amazing.
For me, it would probably be Her. That does quite... Because it came from nowhere. It was never advertised on trailers. We didn't get anything in the cinema about this film. Mm-hmm. We know Joaquin Phoenix is phenomenal, but it just left me thinking about that film for months, and I'm not exaggerating. I was still thinking about it, thinking... That is a bit too scary, and the iOS thing could work, and that could be... It really did. It left a lot with me. Yeah. And
well, it's one step up from Siri, basically.
It's superb. Yeah. Okay, Thomas Hill has put, over time, actors and actresses have shown some very powerful and brilliant portrayed characters in numerous films. Imagine you are an actor or an actress performing a role in a movie. What sort of role... would you find it most difficult to turn off when the camera isn't rolling? Mm-hmm. P.S. Adam isn't allowed to use the Joker for this answer.
I think I'd be worried if I couldn't turn the Joker off.
Yeah.
Stop robbing banks and stuff like that. That's really difficult, actually.
Yeah.
Is there anything really you wouldn't be able to turn off?
Well, I think it depends what type of actor you are. Because if you're a method actor and you go deep into the character, then you don't switch off between scenes.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of actors aren't method. They literally, you know, the camera rolls, they're the character, the camera stops rolling, they're themselves. But method actors stick with it. And I think there are certain kinds of roles, if you're a method actor, that is going to be very hard to live with.
Yeah.
So a film that instantly comes to mind, have you ever seen a film called The Woodsman?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon plays a paedophile who's sort of just come out of prison, is reintegrating into society. And you think, Kevin Bacon's a great actor, so he must have had to think hard to put himself into these I don't doubt for a second he's not a paedophile. So it's hard work for him to put himself in these shoes. And then it's all well and good when the camera's rolling, but then the camera stops rolling and you're going to go and get your lunch. He can't just become lovely, happy, chappy Kevin Bacon again, because it's such a deep, dark role to be in. He's got to stick with it. I'm sure when the film was wrapped, he'd bin that character off and ran away from it a million miles. But whilst you're filming, it must be hard to go in and out of that mindset.
I think any character based on a real life person, especially if you're with them on set and things like that.
Yeah.
I think because as human beings, psychologically, I think we take on personality traits of people around us.
Yeah.
So I think if you're sitting with someone day in, day out, learning from them about who they are, so you can portray them on film, I think you're undoubtedly going to take certain characteristics from them as well.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, again, like the sort of sport films as well, when they portray like a boxer or, I just think Jake Gyllenhaal, when he was training every day, it must have been impossible to get home, and just be like, switch off and not be energetic and train. And it must just be, his limbs would be aching. Yeah. It must be impossible to kind of go, let me just chill out with a pizza and watch TV.
Mm. Yeah.
And also, he went from Nightcrawler to that as well.
Yeah.
So he was pretty much training, bulking every day.
Yeah.
Crazy. Robbie the Seal at Rob Hollocks 432. Will we ever hear any more about the Rambo remake with Barry Chuckle that you mentioned previously?
Now, I've said I'm having meetings in New York this week, I can't say too much, but stay tuned.
I have been thinking about this for a few weeks, and that's why I haven't talked about it. The only thing I'd like to say at this point is that Paul Chuckle, his brother, will be in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the reason he's going out to find this predator might have something to do with his brother's death.
I'll be honest with you. The reason why we've not managed to lock down the deal yet is because they're insisting on it being filmed in Rotherham. Now, I think it would be better if it was in some sort of jungle,
But Rotherham's a concrete jungle.
It's a concrete jungle, but, they're insisting on it.
Yeah.
And I want to get them. I want to give in to their demands, but I just don't know if Rotherham's going to work.
Plus, there's obviously the whole thing with Sly Stallone. We need to iron out.
Yeah. No, I've signed him up. He's fine.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Al Robinson, Al_Rob_1982. Good year. I just thought of a question. Would you guys rather see a great British film or a great American film?
Either or both.
Yeah, it's dependent on the film.
Yeah.
But I must admit, most of my favourite films are American.
I just want to see a great film, full stop. It can be American, British, Korean, Chinese.
Yeah, I mean, look at Oldboy, look at Battle Royale, things like that. We've talked about foreign cinema.
Yeah.
If you make a good film, it should transcend the country it's made in or the country it comes from.
Exactly. I'll watch a film from any country as long as it's good.
I don't like this question. Ben, which is at Benny Buckingham, given Mark's knack of pronouncing names correctly.
Brilliant.
I know.
Got the question wrong.
I know. I'd love to hear him attempt to say the guy who's on X-Files. David Duchovny, is it?
You nearly had it. You put an extra syllable at the end for no reason.
David Duchovny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Ben, for highlighting that. I appreciate it. And yes, I did balls that up.
Yeah, you're so mean highlighting a speech impediment like that. I mean, me and Ben would never do that to
Mark.
We would never
do that.
Ah, nasty.
Is that sent in by you?
Yeah.
At Brooksy17. What's your favourite film that's over 2.5 hours? Really long film.
Oh, I don't know. I can't.
God, I would have to research that. Do you want to bring that back? Really
no.
long. Do you know what I'm going to say? The Shawshank Redemption. It's long and I love it.
That's what she said?
Yeah.
Degrading.
I think Munich is an incredibly long film.
That's a brilliant film.
And it's a great film.
Seeing as I've given it a bit less love this episode, I'm going to say The Green Mile.
Yeah.
Dropped it out of my top five, but probably is one of my favourite films over 3 hours.
Fair play.
Ian Young, if you could see Oh, if you could choose a way that Adam Sandler is to be killed, would you choose one, his head gets exploded by a wedding singer's very high note, two, he gets clubbed to death by an angry golfer, or three, Kevin James, don't know who that is, falling off a Segway and squashing him.
Is that one of his friends?
Yeah. Don't know. James, let's change that to Paul Blart.
To Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah. Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Yeah.
So what would you rather see?
The third one then.
Yeah.
Paul Blart.
We're all in that.
I'd want to see President Paul Blart Mall Cop fall off a Segway and crush
I think the interesting thing there is how he'd then run a campaign to get back to president knowing he'd done that.
I think he would be voted in unanimously. He would get 100% of the vote had he killed Sandler. Who wouldn't vote that man in?
No one cares about economic policy.
Next question. If you could take your favourite film of all time, we can say one of five, what's the one thing you would change about it to make it better? And that was from Felix Felicis, which is at Lawson Akira.
Well, okay then, let's bring this down to brass tacks then. If we're going to do this, pick your favourite film. So I'll go Blade Runner. Mark?
For this question, I'm going to pick Big.
Adam?
For this question, I'll pick The Dark Knight.
Okay, so what...
I know what Adam's going to say.
That stupid I've got it, that, bike up the wall scene. Get rid of that. Yeah.
Bike up the wall scene. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, best film ever. Big, for me,
yeah.
He goes to Zoltar. Mm-hmm. He goes to try and make himself big again.
Yeah.
It's out of order. So he's a kid for the rest of his life. Never grows old. Imagine that as a film. Never ever grows old. He's always like about 11-year-old Josh Baskin walking around 11.
Yeah.
And then people will be like, is he a kid? Is he an adult? That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you reckon?
Yeah.
After Mac and Me 2, do you want to do that?
Let's do that.
Big 2.
I want to call it Too Big.
We call it Small?
Yes, Too Big. That's brilliant.
Just call it Small.
Nice.
This, I'm going to give you a really shitty answer with Blade Runner. I'd want the final cut that we've now finally seen to have been the original cut. I want the many cuts prior to that to not exist. The shitty cut where they forced Harrison Ford to do a voiceover. I don't want those to exist in the world. That's my change. The final cut is the only cut.
There's a question here that three people have asked that are quite similar. So I'll read them all out so they get their credit and they want us to answer it. It's quite good. So first of all, Dave J. Dixon has said, what plans do you have in the future for the podcast? Any particular milestone you want to reach? Happy anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Popcorn Heart Gemma has said, what advice would you give yourself 12 months ago about the podcast?
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear that. And Super Nerds have said, after an exceptional 12 months, what are your hopes and expectations for the next 12 months? So should we cover that and Dave's question first? What have we got planned? What are we wanting from the next phase two?
Same old stuff, really. I mean, we're just looking to entertain.
Yeah, man.
Just having fun with it.
Give the people what they want.
I'm not going to lie. I just don't want to get sued.
Yeah, I think
that is exactly it.
Do you know my advice then, Mark? Stop talking.
Yeah. Leave the podcast. Yeah.
Essentially, yeah. That's been the goal of the podcast from day one. Yeah. Let's not get sued.
I would love to get Star Wars tickets very early before everyone else, just for bragging rights.
Do you know what I would love to do, genuinely, and this is way out there and won't happen, I would love to do a live podcast somehow or somewhere. We couldn't do it because we would definitely get sued. Because you guys who listen to this show, you listen to the edit that Mark does and labours over. If you heard what we actually said and the shit we have to cut out, Christ. So we couldn't ever do a live one, but I would love that. I'd bloody love that.
I think you both know this. When we started this podcast, we joked and said we wanted more than 100, and it's been exceptional. We love every single person that's ever done this. We absolutely adore it.
Yeah.
I did get an envelope and I put three names on there. Mm. Have I told you about this?
No.
Of three people that I want to interview within the first couple of years. I've not even shown my wife this envelope and there's three names on there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not exaggerating. Gillian Anderson was on there. So awesome. I was absolutely obsessed with Hannibal. There's two more names on there that we want to see.
Yeah.
And I'll reveal one now.
Okay.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
I want us three to have some time with Mads Mikkelsen on a podcast. That's my dream.
Great.
And there's one name, which if we haven't done it by Christmas this year, I'll reveal the name.
Okay.
But it's someone that's a director that would mean the world to us.
If it's Kevin Smith, I'll blow my fucking brains out.
I promise you it's not.
Is it Tommy Wise?
I'm not going to say. That would be good, though. I'd love to speak to Tommy.
Yeah.
But also, there's a director that all three of us would absolutely love, and I will work my ass off now till Christmas to make it happen.
Cool.
What was the other question that was quite similar that you wanted to know?
What's in your hand? You're reading off the piece of paper.
There's just a lot. There's a lot. There's hell of a lot. Milestone.
What advice? What was Gemma's
question?
Gemma
said, what advice words would you give yourself 12 months ago about the podcast?
I'd say my advice would have been, because I didn't realise we were going to care so much and put as much effort in as we have. So my advice would have been, buy all the decent studio equipment we now have. Because our first 10, 11 episodes, we were recording on an iPhone.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely fine. But if you go back and listen to them, they're not as good as when now we've got a swanky mixing desk and microphones. So my advice would be, you know, pony up the dough and get the equipment from day one.
I agree. I think there's nothing. Just.
I think just stay relaxed with it.
Yeah.
Don't get too uptight. Don't get too.
Which we did. We fell into that trap of worrying too
and
much.
Just continue to enjoy it. Don't try and be something you're not.
Yeah. Have fun.
Yeah. If you come up with, you know, I'm talking to anyone out here who wants to do a podcast. If you come up with a podcast with your friends for a bit of fun, let it be fun. Yeah. Don't let it become work.
On that note, I'm leaving the podcast. I've got a question that I'm going to put to you two from myself that I want you both to come back and myself next time with an answer. It's not a topic. It's just a one thing.
All right.
My question to you both is, I want you both to pick one film out of all the films in the world and one film director and who you would like to have as that director to watch that one film with in a private viewing.
So which director would I want to watch? Which
what film with? And not their film. So you could say Tarantino and I want to watch Troll 2. You know, that'd be the worst thing ever. But I want you to...
I don't think it would be. Hilarious to watch Troll 2.
But I want
to
know...
That's my answer. I'm not...
But give it some thought and, you know, it'd be good to discuss.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not allowed to say Kevin Smith and fucking Super Size Me or something like that. Look at his face.
It's a documentary of his life, isn't it?
Guys, there was one other challenge that someone picked up on last week we kind of snoozed and forgot about. I mean, we planned it for this week.
Of course,
The poster challenge.
Yes, round two.
Did you all bring another poster that you will say is one of the best ever?
I did, yeah.
I hope we don't have any duplicates.
Yeah.
Ben.
Yes.
Show me the tackle.
What?
what? Sorry, show me the goods.
I'm entirely confused.
Show me the goods.
Show me tackle. Till later. I've gone for... Fritz Lang's seminal sci-fi absolute weirdness called Metropolis.
Incredible.
And this poster in the Art Deco style, very famous poster. I'm sure people listening now already know what poster I'm referring to, but we're going to put these up on Instagram
Facebook, and Twitter.
So Fritz Lang's original poster for
Look
Metropolis.
At that.
I just love anything Art Deco, and that's
That'd
phenomenal.
Make a good steelbook.
Yeah.
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 Adam, don't give me a tackle.
Oh, cheers.
Give me your love.
Halloween.
Look at that.
I'm sure everyone listening also knows this Halloween poster, the one with the knife and the pumpkin.
Uh-huh.
It is iconic.
Yeah.
And look at that.
That's
it's
brilliant.
So simple, but it's so good.
Yeah.
My poster, not the best film, but the poster is 10 times better than the film. Episode 1.
That is a good film.
The shadow is Darth Vader.
That is good, actually. Yeah,
it's a fucking awesome poster.
It's a shame about the film.
It is, but look at that. It's everything it's summed up in one picture of his shadow being Darth Vader. It's brilliant. I think Adam's going to win this. I'm not going to lie. Look at that.
I think Adam's going to win. Yeah.
He's won it already.
Yeah, I think he has.
He wins the waiting game. He wins the poster comps. He is not winning fan movie fortunes. He's not winning that.
I didn't win the last poster one. You did.
Yeah. That's such true. A good poster.
Although I did check back on Instagram and I had more likes than you now. But
yeah, now.
I'm not competitive.
So keep your questions coming on the social media. Just go to skiptheend.co.uk and read all our existing topic answers. We've got everything on there. We've got reviews, our ratings. We've got little features on there about all our MCM specials. We've got all our back episodes.
Yeah,
just go on there.
Specials when we spoke to John Schnepp and Holly Payne, the director and producer of The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened.
Uwe Boll. Matt from Funeral
director.
For a Friend.
Yeah, Matt from Funeral for a Friend. Go back and listen to one of our episodes. We spoke to the lead guy from Troll 2.
Yep.
We've done some...
George Hardy, man.
Do you know what, man? When you look back at this
year one.
We've done some interesting shit, man.
Walt Jr.
Yep.
He's up there.
The MCM specials, yeah.
Gillian Anderson.
Yeah. Cast of shows like Arrow, Under the Dome.
There's been a lot. That's what also I want to do as well. I want to get some more people. I would love to get John Carpenter. I'd love to get, you know, Kevin Smith. As funny as it would be, I would love it. Tommy Wiseau would be the dream.
What's your best moment then?
Oh, that's a great question.
Shit, that is a good question. Do you know, I think when one of the last Comic Cons we went to, when I got to interview John Noble.
Yeah.
Just such a lovely dude. And I'm a big fan of his work in Fringe, and I'm not a big fan of the Lord of the Rings films generally, but I think he's very good in them. And he was just a very cool, down-to-earth dude.
Great in Scarecrow as well, in Arkham Knight.
Yeah, he's a great voice actor. And just one of the answers he gave me to a question when I said to him, you know, so what do you prefer, TV, stage, film? And his answer was, as long as the work is good, I don't mind. I would do a toothpaste commercial as long as it's good work. And I just thought that's a great attitude to have. So I think meeting John Noble is my favourite thing of the last 12 months.
It's difficult to narrow it down to one. Mark?
Crazy. Probably Saul Rubinek.
Yeah.
Saul Rubinek was
great. Because it was one of these people that we were never really expecting to see. We'd just been let into the MCM world where we're like, right, let's go out and interview celebrities and his stories, and it was just fascinating.
Talk about on set curve.
What a great guy he was.
I've never been in the presence of someone who can just own a room like that. Everyone was, you could see people physically leaning in towards him at the more he spoke, because he just owned that
old
room.
Hat.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, this is it. You know, a
Hollywood veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam?
Probably RJ Mitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the other side of the scale, obviously a young actor up and coming. Mm-hmm. But he was, the interview was so nice. Mm-hmm. It was so nice to sit there with him and actually have this conversation about things he's passionate about, Breaking Bad, everything like that. It was good fun. It was great to hear. And he's such a nice dude.
Very much so, yeah.
John Schnepp and Holly Payne as well. Yeah. That was incredible.
And do you know what, lads? Sitting in a room with you every couple of weeks and having a bloody chat.
That's bloody nice.
I bloody love that.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great.
Cheesy as it sounds, because we will wrap this up, genuinely, we didn't think it would ever get more than 100. And that isn't just like, oh, we didn't.
Yeah.
That's what we said. I said, if we get to Christmas, this Christmas coming, and get to 100 listeners, I'll be happy. We're 1.5 million. Thank you to every single person out there that has downloaded, gone on our website, read an article, literally took the time to listen to us, because you'll see on Twitter, we acknowledge every single person that talks to us.
Yeah.
Everyone that comes up to us at a con, we've got time for you, because it's only because of you that we do this.
We're genuinely thrilled when people tweet us or respond to our tweets.
Yeah.
And
if we put something out about Skip Back in Time and one of you thinks, oh, they won't be interested, we read it out. Yeah. We love you. Without you guys, this episode would not be any good.
Yeah. Definitely. And just you know, thank you for listening to three daft blokes from England.
Yeah. And we are gonna get better. And this phase two is going to be like the Ant-Man and the Guardians.
Yeah.
You're going to get it all.
Yeah.
Tommy Wiseau. That's my aim.
So that brings us to the end of this, our anniversary special.
Wow.
I don't know what much more there is to say. We've already...
We've just told everyone how much we love them.
Yeah, and we do. Yeah.
We do. But God, this is the outro now.
This is the end. So, you know, let's dry these tears and let's tell them what's coming up next in 3 weeks.
Yep.
Phase
two, indeed. We're going to review Legend.
Which is meant to be, people are saying, for the fact he's delivering two roles.
Yeah, Tom Hardy.
It's going to be something special.
Imagine him getting the best actor and best supporting actor.
That would be good.
Imagine that.
You could at the Oscars,
That's, do you know what? I hadn't even thought of that. That'd be hilarious, wouldn't it?
An actress.
In an address.
Yeah, what? Yeah, it's going to be something good. So it'd be nice to actually visit a film I'm sure we're going to love more than Pixels and Fantastic Four.
I don't know with Ben.
Well, I bloody love Pixels.
He really loved Pixels.
Well, six, you know.
That's why he's going to America to go and try and be in the next one.
He just wished Thomas Hayden Church was in there.
We're also going to be re-watching Battlefield Earth. Look forward to that.
It's not all good.
And we're skipping back in time to 2002.
Yep. It's a good year.
And we've got a new little game show for you.
What's it called, Mark?
Fan Movie Fortunes.
Brilliant.
It's good, isn't it? It is good.
Or Fan Movie Feud.
Fan Movie Feud for our American listeners,
What else are we doing? Anything else?
That's probably
enough. Just answering your questions again, as always.
The prize that we put up today will announce the winner of that big bundle of T-shirts.
We'll be announcing the winner of the poster competition.
We'll announce the winner, which will be one of us three.
And we're going to just be ourselves again.
Just more of this.
Yeah.
Give the people what they want. More of this.
I hope you don't mind the 3 week wait.
Yeah.
Ben's selfish. He's going to America. But if it leads to, you know, sequels of films we might have talked about, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
He's actually going, just to give a little spoiler, he's going out there to show Paul and Barry.
Yeah.
Why he wants it set near New York.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I'm going to take them to Manhattan and say, you realise this is better than Rotherham Town Centre.
They won't.
Yeah. Well, because they'll be too busy going to me, to you. They won't listen. They never bloody listen.
Guys.
Oh, that's a chuckle, isn't it?
It's been a good phase.
Yeah.
but it's been a good year.
It's been a good year. You gotta fight for your right to want
it. Your pops quit your smoking, man. He says, no way. That hypocrite smokes two packs a day.
Chicken, Peter, you just a little chicken. Chip, 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 chip.